జయ ఓం విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం త్రిలా ప్రవిష్ట విశ్వపాద పరమహంస పరివ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తరశత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ వృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీహరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోపినాథ శ్యామగుండి రాధాగుండి గిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గౌర్ ప్రేమనంది. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. నమామి శ్రీపదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతి భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిని దినామినే నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహగృహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవా. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి స్వీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సఫలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యథా భక్తి పాదయోర్స్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వపాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖశమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యతోన్వయాదితరతశ్చార్తేష్వభిజ్ఞస్వరాణ్ తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదాయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యందియల్ సూరయ. తేజో వారిమృతం యథా వినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాం నామ్నా స్వేన సదా నిరస్తకుహగం సత్యం పరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజ్జిత కైతవోత్ర పరమో నర్మత్సరానాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తాపత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే కింబాపరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్యదేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తల్క్షణాల్ నిగమకల్పదరోర్గలిదం ఫలం శుకముఖాదమృతద్రవ సంయుధం పిబద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసిగా భువి భావుకా. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోల్పత్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నుమా. యం ప్రవ్రజందం హనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం ద్వైవాయనో విరహకాదరమజ్జుహావాం పుత్రేతి తన్మయదయత్తరవోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానతోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిలశ్రుతిసారమేగం అధ్యాత్మదీపమదితితీర్షదాం ధమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. రాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తదో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోర ముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణు కునిదాదృదాననిందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభదాం మురారే మధురీం న కణికాపి కాపి కావే. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రస్థాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంత స్వామిన్ హితి నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతీదేవీం గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణే శ్రీమల్ గురుచరణారవిందాభ్యాం నమః. వందే నందవ్రజస్త్రీణాం పాదరేణుమభీష్ణశ యాసాం హరిగతోద్గీతం పునాది భువనత్రయం గోపీచరణారవింద పరమానవే నమః. పీతాంబరం కరవిరాజిత చక్రశంఖం కౌమోదగీ సరసిజం కరుణా సముద్రం రాధాసహాయం అతిసుందరమందహాసం వాతాళయేశమనిశం విభావయామి. కోమలం కూజయన్ వేణుం శ్యామలోయం కుమారగా వేదవేద్యపరం బ్రహ్మ వాసదాం పురదో మమాం. మూగం కరోతి వాజాలం పంగుం లంఘయదే గిరిం యల్కృపాతమహం వందే పరమానందమాధవం. శ్రీకృష్ణాయ నమః. శ్రీమతి రాధికాయే నమః. సర్వత్ర గోవింద నామ సంకీర్తనం గోవింద గోవింద. So, last Sunday, while discussing this Ekadashi Skandam, Krishna spoke about mentions here in the 18th chapter, which we have seen, what is Bandham and what is Moksham. In several places in the Srimad Bhagavatam, Bandham and Moksham, bondage and liberation, is expressed in different ways. In different ways. In this particular instance, Krishna is saying there that anvichet, the verse 22 in the 18th chapter, anvichet atmano bandham moksham jnana nishtaya bandham indriya vikshepam moksha esham ja samyamam. That's what we were talking about, isn't it? Bandham indriya vikshepam moksha esham ja samyamam. So Krishna's point is that in our life, in this world, as much as we restrict the senses, sense enjoyment, you are getting released from the bondage. That's important point. It's not that sense gratification, how does it affect us? The answer to that is bandham indriya vikshepam. Krishna is saying there, if you free yourself from the senses, control the senses, and control the mind, control the senses, what that means is, it's one more step closer to liberation. Bandham indriya vikshepam. So indriya vikshepam is not a indriyam. If indriyam means senses, if senses drives us, then it's bondage, Krishna is saying here. If senses are driving us, it's bondage. If you are released from the senses, that is liberation. That's the point Krishna is making. Moksham esham ja samyamam. So we were talking about that, what does samyamam means, isn't it? What does samyamam means? That's what we were looking at last Saturday. So, in the 23rd verse, Krishna is saying, Tasmal niyamyashadvargam madbhave nacharemuni viraktaha chullaga mebhyo labdho alpani sukham mahan virakta chullaga mebhyo labdho alpani sukham mahan. Krishna is saying here that one by renunciation, viraktam, virakti, chulagamebhyam, that means all the desires, freeing himself from the desires, and lebdhva almani sukham mahat, he should find the happiness of the soul, happiness of the soul. ది പുരഗ്രാമർജാൻസാർത്ഥാൻ ഭിക്ഷാർത്ഥം പ്രവിശം ശരേൽ പുണ്യദേശരീക്ഷൈലം വനാശ്രമവതീം മഹീം. ഇൻ ദ നെക്സ്റ്റ് വേർഡ്സ്, വാനപ്രസ്ഥാശ്രമപ്രദേശം അഭീഷ്ടം വൈഷ്യവാചരേൽ സംസിദ്ധ്യത്യാശ്വസമോഹം ശുദ്ധസത്വശിലാന്ധസ. ഓൾ ദീസ് വേഴ്സസ് കൃഷ്ണ ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദാൻ വാട്ട് ആർ ദി ഇൻസ്ട്രക്ഷൻസ് ഫോർ വാനപ്രസ്ഥാശ്രം ആൻഡ് സന്യാസാശ്രം ഇൻ ബോത്ത് ദീസ് ആശ്രംസ്. സോ കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ഹിയർ, ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ് സന്യാസി ഭിക്ഷു, കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് that one who has become detached from the senses, sensual enjoyment, step by step, sense control, indriya samyamam and manas samyamam, after finishing all that, he should come to the state that if he is experiencing the blissful nature of the soul, experience of the soul in other words, or practically the first step towards the self-realization, and when if he gets it, and Krishna is saying there, if that spiritual happiness coming from the soul, if it is without any vichiti, vichiti means interruption, unbreakable, continuously if it happens, Krishna says labdhva almani sukham mahat. You see that word in the 23rd verse, Krishna says virakta kshullagamebhyo labdhva almani sukham mahat. He says, what does that mean? Labdhvalpani sukham mahat means that after coming to this stage that he has attachment to the senses and sense enjoyment is completely gone from him and he has become detached. No senses are not pulling him down anymore. Viraktaha. Chullagamebhyo. That means no desires also are not building up inside. No further desires building up inside. Virakta chullagamebhyo. Then what will happen? Labdhva almani sukham mahat. Krishna is saying the experience of the soul will keep him happy in this world. He would not need for any external happiness to come from any external sources. That's the point Krishna is making in that verse. Virakta chullagamebhyo labdhva almani sukham mahat. In other words, Krishna is again guaranteeing there is a happiness in the soul. If we do not taste that happiness, if we do not get that happiness, then we will be lost in spiritual life again. We'll fall down from that state. Labdhva almani sukham mahat. In other words, that labdhva almani sukham mahat, it's a kind of a uncomparable fulfillment inside. It's a fulfillment that comes from inside, not from external supposition, external sources. And Krishna is saying here, after one has got that, then that's why the next two verses he says, let him travel freely in this world after that. After he has received that fulfillment inside, then let him travel freely. And wherever he goes, it is an auspicious thing to have him in that place. Krishna is saying that if he is present anywhere in this world, that place becomes auspicious. In the Upanishad says, Vasandavad Lokahitam Charandaha. Vasandavad Lokahitam Charandaha. Just like the Vasandam. Vasandam is the spring season. Just like the spring season, it is always auspicious. When the spring season comes, people feel happy. And that like the spring, he also gives happiness to this world. And that is what the 24th and 25th is saying. Puragrama vrajan swarthan bhikshartham pravisham chare punyadesha sari chailam anashramavadim mahim. വാനപ്രസ്ഥാശ്രമപ്രദേശ് അഭീഷ്ണം വൈക്ഷ്യമാചരേൽ സംസിദ്ധ്യത്യാശ്വസമോഹം ശുദ്ധസത്വശിലാന്തസാഹ. ടൗൺസ്, വില്ലേജസ് ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദി പ്ലേസസ്, പുരഗ്രാമ വ്രജം. വ്രജം മീൻസ് ദി ഏരിയസ് വെയർ ദി പീപ്പിൾ ഹു ടെൻഡ് ദ കൗസ് ദ ലിവ് ആൻഡ് ദോസ് പ്ലേസസ് ദ ക്യാൻ ഗോ ടു സച്ച് പ്ലേസസ് ഫോർ ഭിക്ഷ, ഫോർ പർപ്പസസ് ഓഫ് ഭിക്ഷ ദ ക്യാൻ ഗോ ടു സച്ച് പ്ലേസസ്. And in holy places, holy rivers, holy hills or mountains, and holy forests, and holy ashramams, all these places are considered to be holy, isn't it? Rivers, there are holy places, holy rivers, holy mountains, holy ashrams, and holy forests. Many, many places you will see mentioned in the Puranams, where due to why they have become holy, because in those places, great personalities have performed their penances. Due to that, tapasya, they have performed in such places. Like we talk about Madhuvanam. Madhuvanam in near Vrindavanam is a holy place because Ambarish Maharaj performed his Ekadashi Vratam there. Dwadashi Vratam for a long period, 1 year, whole year. Dhruva Maharaj performed penances there. Therefore, it is a holy place, Madhuvanam, meant for spiritual activities. Similarly, places like Vrindavanam and Mathura, Dwaraka, all these places are meant for spiritual advancement, for spiritual, cultivating spiritual life. In other words, Punyashramam, similarly ashrams of the great, great saints where they lived and executed their penances, particularly great forests where they lived. So many places, all over, you can see such places where they have performed their penances. And he says there, Vanaprasthashramadeshu abhishnam baikshema charil samsidhyatva ashwasam moham shuddhasattva shilandhasaha. Then he is allowed to beg from Vanaprastham, Vanaprasthashrama. Sannyasi is allowed to beg from him. And if you take food from a Vanaprastham ashrami, that food is considered to be purer than the where from the another grahastha. Because he has also acquired the food in the proper way. Householders' food you can't always trust. Because how they have acquired the wealth, that's another big question mark there, isn't it? So, see, the principle underlying is this, that if you accept anything from anyone, you have to accept that person's karma as well. That is, that you can't do anything about it. That's the way the system is. That is why while accepting anything from anyone, one has to be very, very careful. In the past, very advanced brahmanas, they won't accept any dakshina. Dakshina was not, because they know by accepting that dakshina, unnecessarily you're accepting that person's, because you don't know in many instances how the money has been acquired. And in majority of cases, mostly the money is acquired in the wrong means, not in the dharma, through the dharmika methods. So that is why accepting anything from anyone, one has to be beware of for this reason only. If the money is not used in Krishna service, and on the other hand, if it is used for one's own sense gratification, then that person is taking a calculated risk there in that. So therefore, compared to householders, supply of food, a vanaprastha ashram food is superior. And sannyasi is allowed to take food from a vanaprastha ashram. That's what he's saying there. Vanaprastha ashram pradesh abhishnam baikshema acharel samsidhyata shasam moham shuddha sattva shilandhasa. What will happen to him? If he does that, he says shuddha sattvam. Pure mode of goodness will develop inside him. Mode of good. Food has got an immediate interaction with the person's consciousness. Shuddha sattva shilandhasa. So shuddha sattvam, he will come to the shuddha sattvam state. That's what he's saying there. So like this, he has after saying that, he says here, 26th verse, very important verse, Krishna is saying, Naidat vastudaya pashyel drishyamanam vinashyadi asakta chitto viramed iha mutra chikir shidad. Naidat vastudaya pashyel drishyamanam vinashyadi. Krishna saying, Naidat vastudaya pashyel drishyamanam vinashyadi. Whatever he is seeing in this world, he should know that it is going to be destroyed one day and it is not truth. Whatever we see, anything what he is saying in this world, he should know it is going to be destroyed one day and it is not the truth. That's what he's saying here. Naidan vastudaya pashyel drishyamanam vinashyadi. It's all going to be destroyed one day. Whatever you are seeing through your eyes in this world, Krishna is saying here, don't take it very seriously. Don't take it very, it's another maya that is. To think that everything in this world is permanent, and to think that they are all very serious issues, and everything is going to be destroyed. He says, it's a logic actually. Whatever is seen is destructible. Whatever is seen in this world is destructible. So, everything will be destroyed, including our body, mind, including that, because that is also seen, isn't it? That's also something what you are seeing, your body. Naidat vastudaya pashye drishyamanam vinashyati. That drishyamanam vinashyati applies to your body and the mind as well. Applies to the mind and the body as well. So, that is an important instruction. After a sannyasis, this is all instruction to sannyasis in a very higher level, not for all of us. In the sense that if we can take it, it will help. That's what Krishna is saying in spiritual life. If in all these instructions, what Krishna has talked about for Vanaprasthashram and Sannyasashram, even if it is a grahastha, if grahastha takes it on board, it will help him in spiritual life. But particularly, specifically here, these are instructions to sannyasis. Instructions to sannyasis. Vanaprastha naidad vastudaya apashin drishyamanam vinashyati asakta chitro viramed iha mutra chikir shidad asakta chitro viramed asakta chittam. Asakta chittam means no sakti anywhere, no attachment anywhere. Iha mutra chikir shidad. Iha mutra means neither it will help in this world nor it will help you in the world next. Keeping attachment here to anything. Keeping attachment to anything, because once you come to the sannyasa ashram, a state of consciousness is expected from them. Remember, we said that before, jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Why do we say that? Because in that state, it is expected from that person, this state of consciousness. Jnanam sannyasa lakshanam. Ihamutra asakta chitto viramed. Asakti, asakti, asakti must go completely from that person. Attachment to anything in this world. Iha mutram chigirshidad. Because it will not help him either in this world or in the next world. So, he should withdraw from that completely. Yade dadatmani jagan mano vak prana samhadam sarvam mayedi tarkena susta tyektva na tatsmared. Yade dadatmani jagan mano vak prana samhadam sarvam mayedi tarkena sustas tektva na tatsmared. Mind, the words, the pranan, all these things, they are in the jagat. And knowing very well, that is all the product of maya. That's all the product of maya. How should he know that? Sapna drishtandam, he says. Sapna drishtandam, what is that sapna drishtandam? In dream state, sustas tektva na tatsmared. Sapna drishtandam is that in dream state, we see all these things, and when you wake up from the dream, we know that it was only a dream, and we are able to leave it, isn't it? We are able to leave it. Krishna is saying this vacant state is also similar, not much different. That we take it seriously in vacant state, but Krishna does not like it. That when you take the products of this world, maya, particularly this body, mind, and the objects of this world very seriously, Krishna says that that will only cost him degradation. That will cost him degradation. And he says here, so sarvam mayedi tarkena, it's all products of maya only. Swastas tetva na tatsmared. So, giving up that, swastam tetva na smared. Tatsmared. What is swastam means? Have you heard that word? People use this word swastam. What does swastam means? Swastam means, swastam means, my real identity is spiritual. Isn't it? Every one of us, our real identity is spiritual. To be situated on that spiritual platform is swastam. Normally it is used in a different way. Swastam people will say, I'm retired now. If you ask some retired people, they'll say, I am in the swastam, I am not doing anything. That's not what actually it means. Swastam means to be situated within oneself. That means no more bodily existence, completely situated in the platform of the soul. That is swastam. Krishna says here, swastas tektva na tatsmared. So, na tatsmared. Being situated in the platform of the soul, he should not think about this world anymore. Never he should take this world into inside and start chewing that. We are busy with that, aren't we? All day we are chewing the world in some form or the other. That world means everything, including our own body, mind, senses, family extensions, and all other vyavaharam in this world. That's what we are chewing all the time. But sannyasi's level, Krishna is expects there that asakta chitto sarvam mayedi tarkena, knowing very well it's all the products of maya, swastat tyektva na tat smaret. He should be situated on the platform of the soul and na tat smaret. Never again remember about this world. These are all states of that what Krishna mentioned before, mokshaya shamja samyamam. That samyamam state, that's what he is talking about.
യഥേതദാത്മൈ ജഗൻ മനോവാക്പ്രാണസംഹതം സർവം മായേതി തർക്കേണ സ്വസ്ഥത്യക്ത്വാ ന തൽ സ്മരേൻ.
ദെൻ ആഫ്റ്റർ ദാറ്റ് കൃഷ്ണ സേയ്സ് വാട്ട് എവർ യു സീ ആസ് ഉപാധി. ഉപാധി മീൻസ് ഉപാധി മീൻസ് ലൈക്ക് ദ ബോഡി മൈൻഡ് ദേ ആർ ഓൾ അവർ ഉപാധി. ദർ ഈസ് ഐ ഡോണ്ട് നോ വാട്ട് ദ എക്സാക്ട് വേർഡ് യു കെൻ യൂസ് ഇൻ ഇംഗ്ലീഷ് ബട്ട് ഉപാധി മീൻസ് ദ സോൾ എക്സ്പ്രസസ് itself through upadhi. Soul expresses itself through upadhi. Presence of the soul inside, when the soul is present in someone, that soul's presence is experienced through upadhi. Like the body, the mind, the intelligence, the ego, the senses, they are all upadhis. Krishna is saying here, all of them are coming and going. They all come and go. Body comes and goes. All subjected to change, in other words. And he should accept that all this body, mind, intelligence, ego, everything, it is coming and going, continuously changing, in other words. But the some one thing that is inside, which stands as a witness to everything, which is our consciousness, that Krishna calls it as the Sat, isn't it? Sat. Sat is the only one thing what Krishna says is the witness of all these things, what is going on inside. Everything what we see, perceive through the senses, knowing that it's all products of Maya, without giving any attention to that, completely detached from everything, in a peaceful state, Krishna says, Uddhava, travel in this world. Travel in this world in that state. Now, as householder, how they should see this? This is the goal at the end in life. This is the goal. So, whether when household ashram, these instructions are for every ashram. Ultimately, that's a goal. But in householder life, it may be difficult to come to that perfection in this state. But at least before leaving this world, Krishna says one should reach that state. One should reach that state. In sannyasi ashram particularly, one who is a sannyasi in the state, he should have this consciousness. That is what he is saying in the 28th verse. ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠോ വിരക്തോ വാ മദ്ഭക്തോ വാൻ അനപേക്ഷക സലിംഗാനാശ്രമം ത്യക്ത്വാ ചരേത് അവിധിഗോചരം. ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠോ വിരക്തോ വാ മദ്ഭക്തോ വാ അനപേക്ഷക സലിംഗാനാശ്രമം ത്യക്ത്വാ ചരേത് അവിധിഗോചരാഃ. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ജ്ഞാനനിഷ്ഠോ വിരക്തോ വാ മദ്ഭാവോ വാ മദ്ഭക്താവോ അനപേക്ഷക. A jnani who is completely gone beyond any connection with this world, totally realized, in other words, or a devotee who is so advanced that he doesn't care even for the liberation, such person, if he is a sannyasi at that stage, he can wear all these external symbols like the dandam or the water pot kamandalu or the saffron dhoti, that dress, that's allowed for him to wear that. Salingan ashramam tektva chared avidhi gojara. Krishna says there that these instructions what so far we have seen is for sannyasis on a very higher level. Sannyasis on a higher level. It is for them. We are just touching through and going through that, just to see that what Krishna is telling us, and so that we don't misunderstand things. That's all it is. So, Krishna says here, advanced sannyasi, he should not be concerned about even his dress. Even about his dress. And he says to them, even throw away your dress. Salingan ashramam tektva,
ചരേത അവിധിഗോചര ഹി സൈസ് യു ഗിവ് അപ് ദാൻ ആശ്രമം ഓൾസോ സന്യാസ ആശ്രമം ഓൾസോ ആൻഡ് ചരേത് അവിധി ഗോചരം ഇൻ അതർ വേർഡ്സ് സലിംഗാൻ ആശ്രമം മീൻസ് നോ ലിംഗം ലിംഗം മീൻസ് നൺ ഓഫ് ദി സിംബിൾസ് ഓഫ് ദി സന്യാസാശ്രമം സന്യാസാശ്രമം സിംബിൾസ് ആർ ദീസ് തിങ്സ് ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ് ദി സഫ്രോൺ ധോതി ആൻഡ് ദണ്ഡം ത്രിദണ്ഡം ദെൻ ദി വാട്ടർ പോട്ട് കമണ്ടലു ആൻഡ് ഓൾ ദാറ്റ് ആർ ദി സിംപ്റ്റംസ് ഓഫ് എ സന്യാസി ഇസ് ഇൻ ഇറ്റ് ഗിവ് അപ് ദാറ്റ് ആസ് വെൽ കൃഷ്ണ ഇസ് സെയിങ് ബിക്കോസ് യു ഹവ് റീച്ച് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് നൗ ദോ സിംബിൾസ് ആർ നോട്ട് റിക്വയർഡ് എനിമോർ ദോ സിംബിൾസ് ആർ നോട്ട് required anymore salingan ashramam tetva ashram you give up that ashram also sanyasa ashram with all this lingam these are called lingam lingam means different things what as a symbol of that ashram salingan ashramam tetva chare davidi gojanaah then gojanam you should not wear anymore anything any of those things dandam kamandalu none of them So long as you have that dandam, you will be addressed as Dandi Sanyasi. Dandi Sanyasi. And once you give up all that, then you are in the Paramahamsa Sanyasi stage. Paramahamsa Sanyasi stage. So, these are all based on the Shastra Dhyaram. That means depending on the state, one can take that position. You should be in that state. You should not do it just to tell the world that, look, I have become a Paramahamsa now, so I give up everything. People just do all those kind of things these days, isn't it? So they'll throw away everything and say, I've gone beyond all that. They'll say like that. So till that Jnananishtha, that completely fixed up in the platform of the soul, he shouldn't do that. Once he has reached that, he himself should know that, how he is feeling that, his state of consciousness. And it is an individual thing. An individual has to know where he stands in spiritual life. And accordingly, what Krishna says here, he may have, till get reach that stage, he can keep all these things. Which one? Sannyasa Dandam, Kamandalu, all those things, he can keep it with him. But once he has reached that stage, he is feeling that his state of consciousness is high enough that all the things, what goes on in this world is not disturbing him anymore. He has gone beyond this world. Then he throw them away into some holy rivers. His dandam and water pot, everything, he throws into the holy river somewhere. Salingana ashramam tektva charet avidigo charam. Krishna says here. Then what will he do? Budho bhalagaval kreded kushalo jadava charet. വദേദ് ഉന്മത്തവദ് വിദ്വാൻ ഗോചര്യാം നൈകമശ്ചരേത് ബുധോ ബാലകവത് ക്രീഡേത് കുശലോ ജഡവച്ചരേത് വദേദ് ഉന്മത്തവദ് വിദ്വാൻ ഗോചര്യാം നൈകമശ്ചരേത് വാട്ട് ഹി ഷുഡ് ഡു അറ്റ് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് വെൻ ഹി ഹാസ് റീച്ച് ദാറ്റ് സ്റ്റേറ്റ് ഓഫ് പരമഹംസ സ്റ്റേജ് ഹി ഷുഡ് ത്രോ എവേ ഓൾ ഹിസ് എക്സ്റ്റേണൽ സിംബൽസ് ലൈക്ക് ദ ധോതി സഫ്രോൺ ധോതി ദ ദണ്ഡം ദ കമണ്ഡലു എവറിഥിങ് ഈസ് ത്രോൺ എവേ And he again dressed like an ordinary person in this world. But he should become crazy then. He should become crazy, Krishna is saying. Budho bhalagaval kreeded kushalo jadava chared. He should be an expert in becoming a crazy, he says. In the sense that he should play with the children. Budho bhalagavat kreeded. Like children, he should play in this world. And kushalo jadava chared. He should be expert like a duff, like a deaf person or a dumb person. He should move in this world. Kushalo jadavacharet. Budho balagavat kreedet. Kushalo jadavacharet. Vadet unmatavat vidvan. Gocharyam naigamascharet. And he should also be like a intoxicated person. Intoxicated means that without any goal, he should move around in this world. Nobody should take him very seriously. He should behave in such a way that nobody will take him very seriously. And he should be expert in being like that. Not that he has to be like that. He has to become like that. But he can play with children because so that others will not take him very seriously. When adults playing with the children, then others won't take them very seriously. They will think that he has a childish nature. Isn't it? Similarly, he says here, Kushalo Jadavacharet, like a person who has no interest in this world, he should move around in this world, like a Jadam. Jada means one who has no life in him. He has no particular any goal in life. He has no duties to fulfill. He has no obligations anywhere. Completely wandering around, sometimes standing in one place like a cow, and sometimes moves around like a cow. Cows moves around without any particularly any serious plan, isn't it? So similarly, he should move around in this world. In other words, when people look at him, they should think that this person, they'll avoid him, seeing that he's not worthwhile talking to him. They have to behave in such a way that the world will not interfere in his life. It's a source of protection like that. Sudeva Goswami, Jadabharata, Dattatreya Maharshi, and Rishabhadev, they all did this. Isn't it? They all did this. Nobody could take them very seriously. They used to think that the person has lost it. It's gone. So that's what he's saying here. Budho bhalagaval kredet kushalo jadavacharet vaded unmatavadvidvan gocharyam naigamascharet. Although he is realized, full of knowledge, he should move around in this world like a boy, like a little boy, without thinking about praise or insult. Without taking any of them seriously, he should play in this world. Although he is very expert in all these things, everything, he should behave in such a way that without expectation of any results, he should do things in this world. In other words, in a completely indifferent to this world. And although he is a learned person, he should speak in such a way so that the people do not feel that he has anything to offer. They should not take him very seriously. And although he is fixed in the knowledge of the soul, he should wander around like a cow without any direction. You have to remember, all these are instructions for the very advanced and elevated jnanis or devotees. Either way, that is the way it is to be understood. Now, sometimes like madmen, sometimes if you ask them, they will reply. Sometimes they won't even reply you. So, sometimes if you ask a question, the reply you get may have no connection with your question. But it's not necessary that some people will do like that, but all jnanis may not do like that. Why? The reason for doing that is to get rid of this loga vasana. Loga vasana means, you know, we have eshana trayam. We have discussed this in the Bhagavatam before, which you may not remember now. It was in the 6th canto. Eshana trayam, everyone has got. Eshana trayam means there are three eshana. Eshana means three inherent weaknesses in everybody. Isn't it? Inherent weaknesses. What are they? One is Viteshana, money in this world. Viteshana. Viteshana, Dareshana, Logeshana. These are the Ashanatrayam. Viteshana means that you are feeling a shelter in the money in this world, wealth or assets or whatever in this world, feeling a shelter in that. And inside, a decision has been made to make as much money as possible in this world. Or attachment to wealth in an uncontrolled level. That is called Viteshana. Viteshana means that attachment to wealth to an uncontrolled level. In other words, we know very well money can only help you in certain level. For example, fulfilling the needs of the body, eating, sleeping and things concerned, it can help. But beyond than that, money also can't help, isn't it? In some instances, for example, if you experience distress through ill health and nobody can do anything about it, what can money do? A lot of money in the hand, but person is suffering. Person is suffering. That situation always happens in this world, isn't it? So money has its own limits, what utility it has, isn't it? It has certain utilities in this world. But to put all the faith in the money, that money will protect us at all instances, that is Viteshana. That is Viteshana. Similarly, that is one. Secondly, it is called Dharashana. Dharashana means me and my family. That's the only consideration in this world, to think like that. That is me, my wife, my children. Nothing else matters in this world. Certain people, they get absorbed in the family life to such an extent that they can't see anything else in this world happening. It's all my family, my family. This thing happens so strongly in their head that is called Dharashana. So, Eshnatrayam, Brahma discusses this in the Bhagavatam. So, first is Viteshana and then is the Dharashana. And the third one is this, what is known as Logeshana. Logeshana means that you want some recognition in this world. You will notice in everyone, even in sannyasis, this doesn't go away very easily. Somewhere we need some recognition. That is called a Logeshana. Logeshana means somebody has to recognize that even as a sannyasi, whereas a sannyasi, as far as Krishna is concerned, he expects that this is what is expected. What is that? Like a crazy person, you should move in this world so that you don't develop this Eshana anymore, Logeshana anymore in this world and completely break up with this world. That's what is expected from Krishna's side. But because this Eshanatrayam don't go away very easily, even when we come to Sannyasa Ashramam, the same desire follows and it takes over. At that time, there may not be any Viteshana, money may not be an issue. Or there won't be, because there is no family for a sannyasi, so therefore there is no Dharashana either. But Logeshana won't go. You can see, you can look at many, many sannyasis, how they become victimized by one of these three. Sometimes Viteshana and Logeshana will be there. Dharashana, there is no hope. There is no hope because sannyasa was taken, isn't it? So there is no possibility of Dharashana. But Viteshana, Logeshana, Dharashana, these three Eshanatrayam, Krishna says, a sannyasi should be completely freed from that. And to become like that, if instead of allowing the money or allowing the world to pull you back into it, you have to act like this, Krishna is saying, like a crazy person, so that they won't pull you back into the world again. The allurement is very, very strong. We know that very well, isn't it? The allurement for money, allurement for followers and position in this world is very, very strong. And even though you have taken sannyasam and all, it won't go from inside very easily. It won't go away very easily. And then it will come out in some other form from the same person. In some form, it will come out. If you closely observe, you can see, keeping these instructions of Krishna in the mind, if you look at them, you will see that this Viteshana comes back in some other form. And they won't know it because the Maya is so powerful, they will give him some realization that it's all in Krishna's service, we need this money. That excuse will come about at that time. There's nothing you can do about it. That is Viteshana actually, it is. That in Krishna's service I need so much money, otherwise I can't serve Krishna. So there will be an excuse for that. Similarly, Logeshana. When Logeshana comes, you need this world, as whole world has to think, I am a very spiritually powerful personality. I have come to sort out this world. It is Krishna has sent me here for this purpose. If somebody starts thinking like that, what can be done? Krishna is saying, Sannyasa Ashramam, do not make a mockery of it by doing all this kind of thing. These are all very stringent words from Krishna. Krishna doesn't like it when we throw away all these things and we make our own rules for Sannyasa Ashram. It won't be very much appreciated. In the past, many, many years ago, people took all this very, very seriously. But in the modern world, with all the hype of all this media and the money that is available and these traveling facilities, all these has caught on the modern sannyasis to a very high level in all these things. Because it does get influenced by the situation of this world. All these three, Viteshana, Logeshana, Dharishana. Eshanatrayam, they are called. Eshanatrayam. So, it comes, but in a very subtle level, it will come out. The dresses will be saffron still, but the desires are very strong inside for the money. And then you know what will happen, what can happen. You have seen what happens in that state when such desires builds up. So that is what Krishna is saying here, that in order to get rid of that vasana from inside, vasana means this eshanatrayam, that in order to get rid of that, because what will happen is, if you still have loga vasana, people will come and start pulling you back into this life again. Or they will tell you that, come and talk to us and we'll have a program together and this, that and the other. Krishna says, even that time, if you act like a mad person, they won't come to you anymore asking for anything, because they will just ignore you then. And that's what is required. They want the society should ignore you. Society should leave you behind, because whole lifetime we have been with this so-called society. And finally we started realizing all this society is of no use at the time of death. What can the society do? So, if you talk something like a mad person, then nobody will take you very seriously. So, so in order to bring that state, that's the only way you can do it. What did Rishabhadev do? Rishabhadev put a big stone in the mouth, and biting that stone, he wandered around. Children started throwing stones at him, to Maharaj Rishabhadev, Krishna's incarnation. People were throwing stones at him. Some people tried to pass urine on him. So many things they did to him. But because of the high realization inside, he did not care for the body. Because he has come to teach us that sannyasa ashram's glory of that state, of the state of renunciation. Because if you look into Rishabhadev's instructions to his children in the Srimad Bhagavatam, you will see there, it is completely based on the Vairagyam stage. Vairagyam is given importance in those Nayam Deho Dehabajan Reloke Kashtan Kaman Arkade Vidbujam Ye Tapo Divyam Putragayena Satvam Shudyedasmal Brahma Saukhyam Twanandam. And it is from Rishabhadev we have got King Bharata, isn't it? The eldest one, and also the nine sages, Navayogendras, who comes in the Ekadasha Skandam, who takes instructions, who gives instructions to King Nimi. Isn't it? Nimi Navayogi Samvadam. Navayogis are this Rishabhadev's children. Isn't it? Out of the 100 children, 9 of them. So, Rishabhadev behaved like that. Dattatreya Maharshi, what did he do? When he saw Prahlada and when he saw King Yadu, he was lying there completely satisfied, without any clothes, lying on the sand, on the river bank in Kaveri. Prahlada saw him and asked him, why are you like this? He says, because by now he is experiencing what Krishna says here, that jnana nishto virakto va mad bhakto va anabekshakam. Because it is in that state, that 27th verse, yade edad atmani jagan mano vak prana samhadam sarvam mayedi tarkena swastha tektva na tat smare. That is their state of the sannyasis. Like our Rishabhayogi Shiran, Rishabhayogi, Jadabharata, another personality, Dattatreya Maharshi, another personality, Sudev Goswami, another one, they are all in that state. What is that? Yade idalpani jagan mano vak prana samhadam sarvam mayedi tarkena swastha tyektva natal smarel. Sarvam mayedi tarkena, everything is maya. Maya is what we are dealing with in this world. That full realization inside. And therefore, he says here, and knowing that this whole creation is nothing but a product of maya, mind, words, everything. And by their own experience, they have realized it. And therefore, completely situated on the platform of the soul. On the platform of the soul. So, the idea behind that is, as I said before, these are for those sannyasis who have gone beyond the sannyasa ashram. Paramahamsa stage in sannyasa ashram. Krishna spoke about that before, isn't it? Kudichak, Bahudak, all different sannyasam. But in the Paramahamsa stage, this is what is supposed to be happening with them. So, and He says here that like cows, he will stand here for some time or go away and stand somewhere else for some time. In this way, Krishna says, tells him to move in that way. So, next verse. வேதவாதரதோ நஸ்யால் ந பாகண்டீ ந ஹைதுகாம் சுஷ்கவாத விவாதேன கஞ்சில் பட்சம் சமாஸ்ரயே. Another important thing Krishna is saying here. வேதவாதரதோ நஸ்யால் ந பாகண்டீ ந ஹைதுகாம் சுஷ்கவாத விவாதேன கஞ்சில் பட்சம் சமாஸ்ரயே. Krishna is saying, வேதவாதரதோ நஸ்யால் ந பாகண்டீ ந ஹைதுகாம். One should not get too involved in writing commentaries on the Vedic literature. Because what will happen is, if you write a commentary, somebody will read it and he will have some argument against that. That's also there. Everything is not that whatever we have written, everybody will accept it. There will be a lot of people who will question those things, and that will lead into argument. That will lead into argument. Therefore, Krishna says, Vedam, Vedic literature, should not be taken to that level that Veda Vadaradho Nasya Na Pakandi Na Haiduga. That you should not get absorbed in too much into this Vyakhyanam or writing commentary on things. And Shushka Vada Vivadena Kanjil Paksham Samashrayel. Then you should not develop any decision in life which is against the conclusions of Shruti or Smriti. Shruti or Smriti. And not involve in any argument or take sides with anyone in any argument. Any argument, you should not take sides with anyone. Why it is like that, we'll see why it is like that. In the past, because there were sannyasis who lived like that, people will understand these things. But in today, everything has to be spoken, isn't it? These things were not spoken so much before, because sannyasis of that caliber or sannyasis of that nature did live. But because in the modern context, many people understand sannyasam in a completely different way. That is the most unfortunate thing. They are saying sannyasam simply in terms of dress and external things. Sannyasam is not external. Sannyasam is very much an internal thing. So here, in the about say 70, 80 years ago, there was a great sannyasi, well-known sannyasi in Vrindavan, Akhandananda Swamiji. Some of you may have heard. If not, he was a very well-known person, Akhandananda Swamiji. He had many disciples and Srimad Bhagavatam. He has spoken in Vrindavanam. He was a well-known personality. He came from Benares, but he lived most of the time in Vrindavanam. So this sannyasi, Akhandananda Swamiji, he had a disciple. He had a disciple who was an avadhuta. He was a disciple who was an avadhuta as well. Avadhuta means he was on his own very higher state of self-realization, and in every way, he was full of knowledge and discussed with his Akhandananda Swamiji often about spiritual topics, and they spend a lot of time together in that way. So, in Akhandananda Swamiji's ashram, from early days in life, there used to be discussions about Vedam and Vedantam. Vedanta philosophy was discussed very much in detail. So, they were attracted to Advaita philosophy at that time. They were very absorbed in that. And this particular person who has come to this state, he had one problem, that he came from a rich Marwadi family who had given up all connections with home, and Marwadis are the business people, business community. And he came from one of those Marwadi family. So at one stage, he told his teacher, Akhandananda Swamiji, that I'm able to do so many things, it's happening to me. But this family connection, that is the most difficult thing, he said. Very difficult to break away. Because on the one side you have, he had his mother, brother, sisters and all that. And they were insisting that he should come back to family life and manage the affairs of the family. Because Marwadi families have got businesses and so many interest in this world in that way. They're generally into business, isn't it? So they were like that. And he said that he kept on saying like this. And because there was a lot of pressure from home to bring him back, mother was putting a lot of pressure and the other family members as well. So one day he mentioned this to Akhandananda Swamiji about this. Akhandananda Swamiji said, told him, unless something drastically done, it's not going to go away. Something done drastically, it's not going to. So he didn't know what he had to do. He put it like this to him. What is that to be done? He didn't tell him what has to be done. So he told him that if you do something like that, you may escape from this problem, he said. So in those days, we are talking about some say 70, 80 years before, Varnashrama Dharma was very stringent, rigidly followed by the society at that time. Rigidly followed by the society at that time. So what he did that what he did was, in his, they lived in a nice area because they were wealthy and they lived in a nice area. Although they were wealthy, this person had no interest in the wealth. He was more interested in the spiritual realization. Self-realization was his goal in life. All sorts of situations happens in life to people. But so what he decided was, in the same town, there was a slum area where there were a lot of people from the lower caste who lived there. And lower caste people generally in those days, not now, now everybody is a lower caste. There is no upper caste, lower caste. Not as lower caste. In them days, because they followed this very rigidly, the upper caste people won't mix with the lower caste, isn't it? And you won't go to their area. And they also won't come to the upper class area. This was followed in that way. That was the tradition at that time. It became so rigid at one certain stage that it has become a really difficult situation then. Anyway, what he did was, normally people won't go to that such area, slum areas where people lived. They ate all sorts of things, they drank alcohol, and they behaved also without any culture, uncultured way they behaved from the viewpoint of the upper class society. So he went there and he started living with them. He went and stayed there and he brought food from them. I mean, he ate it, the food from them, and that was sufficient. Then he went back to the house, so the mother and the sisters and all told him, please don't come here anymore. Please don't come here anymore, because we have got girls to get married at home. If you come here, nobody will marry them anymore, because you are gone and done all these things. Not only that, they went and told Akhandananda Swamiji also to tell him not to come home anymore. See? So sometimes it becomes necessary to do such things. That's what he is saying here. That so when he gone back to the home, both the mother and the wife whom he has renounced before, they told him, don't come into the house, they said. Don't get into the house, they said. They wanted him to stay outside because he has gone and eaten food with them in the other places. So they told in a nice way to Akhandananda Swamiji, please tell your disciple to go and find a place somewhere else and live outside there. So like this, because if he starts coming back, nobody will marry these our daughters from this house. And not only that, they will, what do they say, excommunication, isn't it? They will be excommunicated from the society, all these things. Very peacefully he walked out from there. He got what he wanted. So that is a liberation. Krishna is saying that's a liberation. Because it is another bondage on us, all these things, isn't it? On our, on the, so sometimes you have to act like a mad person and escape from the situation. That is, somehow you have to escape, isn't it? That's what he is saying. Gocharyam naigamascharyam, he says here. Then, that verse 30th, he says here. Shushkavada vivadena kanjil paksham samashrayed. The second line. Vedavadarado nasyal na bhagandi na haiduga shushkavada vivadena kanjil paksham samashrayed. So, shushkavadam. What is this shushkavadam? Shushkavadam is this, that if you observe people who are very learned in the Shastram, they are very fond of arguing also because of their learning. They are highly learned, then they have this tendency to argue each other. And therefore in the past, the kings used to organize what is known as Vakyartha Sadasa. Sadasa means assembly where the king will decide. Kings were also interested in the Shastram. You have to remember, kings were interested. So he will invite all the scholars from one part of the country to another part. Big, big kings, they used to invite these scholars. Once they come well known, they'll be invited by all the kings. And they will arrange discussion of the Shastram in presence of the king, in the assembly of the king. And there will be scholars who are retained by the king to see that the discussion goes in a very smooth way. Vakyartha Sadasa it's called. That means all Vedic literature, it is not easy to understand. It's not that something mundane literature you can study and get the import of the literature. Many, many complicated, even the Vedam today, even the Vedas, there is one commentary by the Sayanacharya, which is well known. But still people say we really don't understand what the Vedic hymns are talking about. That's why as late as 50, 60 years ago, Aurobindo came and he gave his interpretation of the Vedam. And similarly, there was Dayananda Saraswati gave his interpretation of the Vedam. They all have been trying to understand Vedam and they could not come out in their understanding, they have given their interpretation of the Vedam. That's what has happened. So Vedam is always a topic for discussions. All Vedic literature, Upanishads, Brahma Sutram, everything, they discuss. So this discussion is quite common. It used to be quite common in those days. Nowadays it's become less and less, and practically there's no discussion at all anymore. The only discussion is all about the how to get the GDP up or the how to improve our economic conditions. That's the only discussion going on nowadays, isn't it? There's no really any substance discussed in the relating to spiritual topics in either in the parliament or in the anywhere else like that. So that's all over the world. It is like that now. This is the standard. In other words, the standard is pretty low. So, but when those discussions happen, there will also be various assembly or these discussions can sometimes develop into very heated arguments. Sometimes there were famous scholars who will travel from one country to another. And their only business is, because they are so learned, they'll go to each and every king and get recognition from them. And they will be honored by the king because he will go there and he will defeat everyone in the arguments. Because he is so learned that he can defeat everyone in the argument in that way. So this discussion goes on. Krishna says here, if you are put into such a situation, don't get involved in either side. Don't get involved in either side. And normally when such discussion happens, sometimes now also it happens, but rarely, when Vakyartha Sadasa, discussion happens, public are allowed to come and watch. Public are allowed to come. So they'll sit there and the scholars will be sitting opposite to each other and they'll be talking to each other in Sanskrit. They're not allowed to talk in any other language. And they'll all be very learned people also in the Shastram and they will only speak in the Sanskrit. So while discussing in Shastram, what they call it as Purva Paksham and Siddhanta Paksham it's called. Purva Paksham means somebody raises a question and another person has to, and he raises a question and someone else has to answer that question. Purvavaksham is the question and Siddhanta Vaksham is that in the light of the Shastram, he has to explain that, how that Purvavaksham has to be either defeated or he has to be supported, whichever way it is. That depends. And one topic can lead into many other people. As many people are there, there will be as many opinions as well based on the Shastram. So sometimes public are invited and they will observe this after, they won't understand anything what is being spoken about. So once it so happened in one of those assembly, one king conducted this not long ago, about 40-50 years ago, that a lot of people were there. So there was one old lady also there. So she was observing these people are arguing like anything, each other. So she says, what are they fighting about? She says, what is there? There's so much to fight about. She didn't understand what was going on. She didn't know what was the question, didn't know what was the answer either. So somebody asked the lady that for a long time she was giving a lot of attention and thinking that there's something seriously being talked about. Of course, just serious topics they were discussing. And they were asking her. And in the middle, she was hearing Purva Baksham, Siddhanta Baksham, they were hearing these words. So she heard the word, she didn't hear it properly. Other Paksham, she took it as Pakshi. Pakshi means bird. So she says ultimately, I don't understand any of these birds, she says. She answers back to them that they are discussing so much, but I don't understand any of these birds, she says. So similarly, a sannyasi who has reached this level of realization, he should, under any circumstances, get involved in arguments. That is the principle. For example, even today, there is argument going on, Advaitam is correct, Dvaitam is correct, Vishishta Advaitam is correct, Shuddha Advaitam is correct, Kevala Advaitam is correct, Ajinta Vedavyam is correct. These are all on particular level only. Once you have reached the self-realization platform, all this Dvaitam, Advaitam, Vishishta Advaitam, all that has no meaning. That's all finished there. Krishna is saying there that at that point he should not get involved in anything. That's the word he is using there. Shushkavada Vivadena Kanjil Paksham Samashrayen. This is Shushkavadam. It's all useless at the end. Shushkavada Vivadena Kanjil Paksham Samashrayen. You should not get too much pulled down by all that. So, in all circumstances, Krishna says, keeps observing like that, like a witness, but because everyone is a spirit soul at the end. And everyone, there is Krishna's presence inside. And it is same Krishna, the soul, who is present in everyone. Therefore, both Siddhantam and Purvavaksham, watch both and enjoy it, without getting involved in either of that. These are all the instructions from Krishna. Kanjil Paksham Samashrayan. Don't take side of anyone. Don't take side of anyone. And you can, this side is correct, that side is also correct. And not to develop any kind of attachment to one side or the other. Because you have to remember, this is a state even beyond the self-realization platform. Because only when you have a mind, that is where all these arguments are valuable, isn't it? When you have a mind and an intelligence, you are worried Advaitam is correct, Vishishta Advaitam is correct, Dvaitam is correct, or something else is correct. Or even atheism is correct. That's all coming from the mind. And Krishna is concerned, what does he say? Vajodidam tad anurdam manaso dhyatam eva va. Whatever you have spoken with your mind and words, they are all lie at the end. Very difficult, isn't it, to understand that. That vajodidam tad anurdam manaso dhyatam eva va. Everything in a realized state, all this has no meaning. All this has no meaning in the realized state. Completely realized person, for him Advaitam, Dvaitam, Vishishta Advaitam, all this has no meaning. This is all Siddhantam only. Only to that level it can take you. That is the important point. For that's why he says here, as long as you have a mind, from that mind, Sankalpam will come. You will develop some kind of Sankalpam inside. Shushkavadayivadena kanjilpaksham samashrayen. He says, so these are the, sometimes when we go to highly realized people, people ask them this question, that is there a free will or is there is destiny? People ask this question. Have you seen that? People always have this question to ask. Is it free will or is it destiny? This question. And that's the answer is what Krishna is giving there. Krishna's answer is that he says here, whatever you want to take it, you take it like that. If it is destiny, if you think that it is destiny, it is destiny. If you think it is free will, it's free will. Why? Both the destiny and free will is based on your mind and intelligence. Isn't it? See, Advaitam, Dvaitam, all these things is on a platform of intelligence and the mind. It's not based on the, it's not coming from self-realization. There are many, many scholars who are Advaitis, or who are Vishishtadvaitis, or who are Dvaitis also. They are all scholars. There are great scholars in all the traditions. Is it now? Now, if you put them all together, they will argue each other. That's all what will happen. But it's all based on the mind and intelligence. What Krishna is saying there is, if you have come to the self-realization state, if you have realized the truth, then what does it matter? Because you will know at that time, these are all nothing but a product of the mind and intelligence. That's the most important thing. So Krishna says here, if you think it is destiny, it is destiny. If you think it is free will, it is free will. Why do you say like that? Because, why do we say like that? Why does Krishna say like that? Because on your own, you are complete, isn't it? The soul is complete in itself. Purnada, Purnatvam, Purnamadam, Purnamidam, Purnal, Purnamudachyade, Purnasya, Purnamadaya, Purnamevashishade. So, because the soul by nature is complete, all these philosophical conclusions cannot touch the soul. Philosophical conclusions cannot touch the soul. So, therefore it is saying here that you are like Sukadeva Goswami talks about Tam Sarvabhuta Hridayam Munimana Dosmi. A person practically in that state of self-realization, he experiences the whole creation within himself, isn't it? Adhishtanam is the soul. From the soul everything has come. If you have gone back to the soul again, you have to experience the whole creation within that soul. That is self-realization means. That you are not any more separate from this whole thing. Today, we are limited by the body, limited by the mind, limited by the intelligence, and limited by, of course, by the ego. But in the completely released state, freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the ego, what is our existence then? It is spiritual, totally spiritual, alma, the soul, pure consciousness, in other words, avabodham, nyapti. All words are there in the Bhagavatam indicating the same thing. One and the same thing. They use all sorts of words in the Bhagavatam for that. Pratyagalma, all says the same thing. So, in that state, there is only pure consciousness and the soul that is existing at that time. So, so if you recognize something as free will, yes, it is free will. It will operate for the time being as free will only, because you have accepted it as free will. That's what it is. And you can see it yourself. At one time in life, you wanted to acquire many things in this world, achieve so many things in this world, and you got it. You got it. At that time, you thought it is all free will. When you got old, and then you can't get many things, you couldn't achieve, then you started saying it's all destiny. So all this so-called free will, destiny and all only means that much. Nothing more than that. So if it suits you to say it is free will, say it's free will. If you feel that it is destiny, say it's destiny. Whichever way you like it. Krishna is saying here, don't get stuck in all these things. That's the main thing. What Krishna is pointing out. So, so sometimes you may think it is free will. Sometimes you may think it is destiny. As far as Krishna is concerned, there is nothing going on in this world. Nothing going on in this world. If you think that, something is free will, it is destiny. And if you think it is destiny, it is free will. That also you have to accept it in that way. And Krishna is asking, whose will? Whose will? That's the question. That means you have to recognize that separately from the pure consciousness and the soul, you are existing separately from that. There itself you have fallen, as far as Krishna is concerned. Isn't it? Remember, in the 28th chapter in the 11th canto, Krishna says that Parasvabhava karmani na prashamsadi na nindadi sa ashubhashade swarthal asatyam abhinivesada. Already asatyam has come. That verses you have to remember. This is all Jnanamargam. Jnanamargam, this is the way to go. That asatyam abhinivesada. Kimbhadram kimabhadram va doidasya vastuna kiyal vajodidam tad anurdam manasodhyatam eva va. That verses are all referring to this point. Point is this, that in pure consciousness, only the soul exists. Pure consciousness, soul exists, which cannot be, never be touched by any of the material qualities. Asata cannot touch the sata. Asata cannot touch the sata. So, similarly, when there is a discussion about dvaitam, advaitam, visishtadvaitam, if at that point in time, if you are convinced that visishtadvaitam is correct, that is the truth. At that point in time, whatever you feel, that Vishishta, you cannot verify all these things, can you? Advaitam, advaitam, visishtadvaitam, you can't verify any of those things. Ajindya, Veda, Vedam, none of them. So, or if you feel dvaitam is correct, yes, that is the correct thing then. So, if somebody asks some question, people will ask all these kind of questions, isn't it? Why there is a Vishishtadvaitam? And then, whole life you spend beating each other. We beat Mayavadi, Mayavadi beat us. This becomes a whole life business. What gain from that at the end? That is what Krishna is pointing out here. You spend all your life in beating somebody else and getting a pleasure out of it, that I've beaten him. That's all what you get. But neither you know the truth or he knows the truth, because neither of you have realized the truth. That's Krishna's point. So, the argument, what he is pointing out here is that whether sometimes, somebody will argue very strongly in favor of Advaitam, and someone else will argue very strongly in terms of Vishishtadvaitam, and there will be someone else with Dvaitam. All those things, Krishna says here, everything is correct according to the situation. If you feel at that point this is correct, that is correct, that's all. But on a realized platform, you can't argue all these things. These are all, when truth is not realized, you can discuss as long as you want. And you can ask all these questions. Because in his experience at that point, at that particular point in time, it may be giving him some satisfaction for his mind and for his intelligence. Therefore, you can accept it as the truth for that particular time. And even atheism is like that. That's the point. Atheism is like that because atheist is feeling complete satisfaction in his philosophy. So that's correct for him at that point in time. It is correct also. Shunyavadam, Nirvishesha, everything in the same way, nothing more than that. So by saying like that, if it is satisfying somebody else, leave it to them. Don't get into argument. That's what he's saying here. Shushkavada vivadena Kanjal paksham samashrayed. If you take all these instructions seriously and analyze it, then you will know how to deal with this world also. Sometimes you can be put into awkward situations like that. So, when somebody asks a question about it, you can tell them whatever that is suits to that occasions. Krishna says, you stay like this in this world. A sannyasi should stay like that in this. Paramahamsa sannyasi should stay like that in this world. That is what is in the next verse. <clears throat> 31.
No dvijeda janadhiro janam chodve jayenadu adivadam tidikshetra navamanyeda kanchana deham uddeshya pashuved Vairam kuryanna kenachil. No dvijeda janadhiro janam jodve jayenadu adivadam tidikshetra navamanyeda kanchana
Deham uddishya vashuval vairyam kurya annake nachil. 31. It's a very interesting verse. Krishna is saying, No dvijeda janal dhiro janam chedvijayennatu ativadam tidikshetra navamanyeda kanchana. Deham uddishya pashu pashuval vairam kurya annake nachil. Intelligent sannyasi, he should not be frightened about the people. And also, he should not frighten the people. He should not be frightened by the people, nor he should frighten the people. And if the society insults him, or society treats him in a bad way, by bad words or bad actions, he should tolerate them, he says. Never to offend anyone. Never to offend anyone. And based on the body, never to feel any enmity towards another person. Because Krishna says, Deham uddishya pashuval vairam kuryana kuryana kenachin. If you develop enmity towards anyone based on the body, it is considered to be animal. Krishna says, because it is expected from a sannyasi not to develop that kind of enmity towards anyone in this world. Because if he is doing that, he is already in the bodily concept of life. Deham uddishya pashuval vairam kurya na kenachil. Vaira means enmity. He should not create within himself any enmity towards anybody. Should not. That does not mean that, I will be friendly with everyone, all the nonsense what's going on in this world. That is not what it means. Inside, this feeling should develop. Vairam should not happen inside. Externally, in vyavaharam, you may have to protect yourself. That is another thing, externally. But inside, not to develop that enmity. That is the most important thing Krishna is saying there. So, whatever people do to you, never get disturbed over it. Particularly in the family life. So, in the family life, so many things will happen. Most of the people have the experience, isn't it? From the husband side, brothers, sisters, parents. From the wife side, brothers, sisters, parents. All of them will be involved in all kinds of things. So, this relationship is the most difficult thing. This relationship with people. Relationship especially with the family members. Like in the, I think it's the Bible, isn't it? Jesus says that you should love your neighbor like you love yourself, or something like that. It's a statement like that, isn't it? Why did he say like that? What was the reason why he said like that about the neighbor? He didn't say, for example, to sit here and think that Obama is a spirit soul is not very difficult. Isn't it? To think that President Obama is a spirit soul, is Brahman. We can say that because we have no relationship with him. But when it comes to the neighbor, it becomes very difficult, because neighbor can create a lot of problems, isn't it? A neighbor can create a lot of problems. For example, you may get up in the morning to chant your rounds. Neighbor says you are just a nuisance. He can call the police and tell him that the man next door, he's waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning and causing trouble. He can complain about you, and then there is problem. Or when you want to chant, he could have a party at home, and there could be noise from that and things like that. Or if you have sometimes boundaries are. Sometimes the proper boundary is not clearly earmarked. There is problem there with the boundary between the houses. And even otherwise, if you say like this, that he comes and parks your car in front of your house, there it's another source of trouble, isn't it? Source of trouble. So, that is why it's more difficult to love the neighbor than love the American president. American president, no problem. He's sitting there. He's not going to give me any trouble. I'm not going to give him any trouble. So I can tell everybody that he's a spirit soul. I treat him like that, in that way. But when it comes to neighbor, it becomes more difficult. Isn't it? So as long as this bodily identification is there, And it is creating problems in one way or the other. You don't do what to do about it. Sometimes there is a problem with your own stomach or bodily problem. Medicines are not working. No medicine is helping. There's some problem in the stomach. You've taken so many medicines, it's not working. You are still suffering from the illness. Or you're trying to sleep, you're not getting sleep. Or when you come and try to listen to Srimad Bhagavatam, you're getting sleep. The other way also. So, whatever it is, the body is not listening to you. Inside you have one desire, but the body is not listening to you. So, Krishna is saying here, even from there you should know, your own body is not listening to you. So similarly, in the family life, don't expect husband will listen to you, wife will listen to you, children will listen to you. Nobody will listen to you. That's the point. Krishna is saying, and never insist that they should listen to you. They should listen to you. So it is not possible, because it is the simple fact is that they are also under the modes of material nature. They are also under the modes of material nature. They won't listen. And then what happens when they don't listen? Then there is fire. Fire everywhere in the house, isn't it? Few days won't talk to each other. Whenever you look at each other, you show all the angry face and your unhappiness, and you had said that to me, they said this to me, and this way arguments back and forth. And after a while it goes. But the point is, Krishna is making here is that this thing, shushkavada vivadena kanjal paksham samashraya plus no dvijeda jana dhiro janam chod udvejayam medu adivadam tridiksheda navamanyeda kinchana and deham uddishya pashuvel vairam kuryana kenachal. All these fighting arguments is all based on the body, isn't it? And this very body is not listening to you. Isn't it? The body itself is not listening to you. Your own body is not listening to you. As I said, that you don't want to sleep, but the sleep comes. Or sometimes you want to sleep, there is no sleep, doesn't come. All these are our daily experiences in this world, is it not? So from there we should understand, Krishna says, don't expect too much from others. Don't expect too much from others. Prakriti, if you keep insisting that it should happen, it will not happen. Because we may have kept a lot of ideals in our life. Lot of ideals in our life. And if we start insisting everybody should follow those ideals and they should live in this world according to my ideals, that is not going to happen. That's not going to happen. So, that will not happen. They will act according to their swabhavam. Swabhava means prakriti. The vasanas that has come with them. That you can't alter it overnight. And they are doing accordingly so many things. According to their vasana, they are acting in this world. You can't do anything about it. That is why, in Kailasam, when Lord Shiva is in meditation, all around him, you will notice, is all the ghosts and evil spirits and all kinds of inauspicious elements around him. Lord Shiva's associates, if you look at them, most of them are very fearful, frightening personalities, isn't it? And he is in meditation all the time. Shiva is in meditation and the personalities around him are all troublemakers, troubleshooters, in other words. So, that is the reason that you should not go and try to change others. Lord Shiva doesn't interfere in any of their affairs. He keeps away from them. So it mentions there that smashane shuva krida smarahara pishajaya sarasaham. So all these devils and all these creatures who are around him, that in the middle of that he is in meditation. Now look at Vishnu, what he does. He is also lying in Vaikuntham. Vaikuntham, he is sleeping there comfortably, isn't it? He lies on this couch, which is a snake. Adishesha is a snake, isn't it? Not only is a snake, it has got 5 hoods right on top of your head all the time. And the snake is floating in the water, in the ocean, isn't it? Maybe it's milk ocean, but if it's an ocean, there's always waves also. So in that waves, while it is moving the snake back and forth, Mahavishnu is still sleeping very well, comfortably, unaffected by the waves, unaffected by anything. So you know what it is, how you can sleep in the sea, isn't it? Those who have crossed a channel in the boat, or those who have made long distances in the sea, they'll know how difficult it is to sleep in the night, especially when there is bad weather. How bad it is, isn't it? So always moving. And he's lying in this water. He's lying in this water. And who is at the feet? Mahalakshmi. Mahalakshmi is sitting there. And keeping Mahalakshmi like that, how is it possible for Vishnu to sleep so peacefully in the water? So everything is like that. Yoga Nidram Jagalpade, it says in the Mahabharatam, addressed him as Yoga Nidram Jagalpade. So he is always in the Yoga Nidra. Yoga Nidra. Therefore, let anybody do anything in this world. Let them do whatever they have to do. That is not in our control. So that is why Krishna is saying here, you have nothing is in your control in this world. Therefore, he says here, no dujeda janar dhiro janam cho dujayen nato. That word. No dujeda janar dhiro. It says, he should not get frightened by anything what is going on in this world, nor he should frighten anyone by his actions. These are all a highly elevated sannyasi's consciousness. That also you have to remember simultaneously. Same time, you have to remember this. As far as a Paramahamsa sannyasi is concerned, he should not be frightened of this world, nor he should frighten anyone either. Why? Because the realization is in such a state at the moment that he has gone beyond the body, mind, intelligence and everything. And even this world is not existing for him anymore, seeing this as nothing but a product of Maya. In that state, how can one anymore come down to this level and to develop enmity towards others and act, get disturbed over anything what is going on in this creation? That is the point that is being made here. So, no dujena jana dhiraha means people will come and disturb you, but you should not get disturbed over it. This is due to self-realization. That is where it is happening, all this. In a very advanced stage, Paramahamsa stage. Janam na dujayedu. So, also not to go and disturb others in any way. Not to go and disturb others anyway. In other words, don't go and move them from their state of existence. Adivadanna nishetna nidiksheta, adivadanna nidiksheta. He says here, if somebody comes to you and start arguing very strongly with you, keep quiet. Tolerate it, Krishna is saying. Adivadanna nidiksheta. Because sometimes you can see that certain times people get into very serious arguments in life, isn't it? So just like sometimes when you travel in the bus, here it's not so much because very few people are using the buses now, isn't it? But in India, when there is a lot of people using lots of buses now, that sometimes in the bus when you sit, somebody will come and sit next to you. You may not like it. Either sometimes he is drunk, or sometimes he talks a lot, or whatever, makes a lot of noise, and all sorts of situations. So in such situations, you got only one choice. Either he has to get down and go, or you have to get up and go. There is no other alternative. Similarly, there is no other alternative to that, isn't it? Similarly, sometimes people will come to the house in the form of guests. Some guests will turn up in the house. Or in some way, some contact will happen with this world. Or sometimes people will make some cutting remarks, very powerful words, and we can't do anything at that time. And this particularly is more difficult when you are in the spiritual life. Because people won't listen also. You have taken the spiritual path, and other family members are not interested. They will tell you, they will be sitting there and watching television, and they'll tell you that, oh, you are so busy with your so-called Vedantam and Japam and philosophy and all that kind of things. Hasn't got anything better to do? People make some remarks like that. So, they will even advise you that it's too early for you to start all these things. You should only do all this after retirement or after all, you finished all your family responsibility. They'll say like that to you. So, at such a situation, answering them won't help. Because they've already decided that their path is correct. They are not ready for any advice. They're not ready for any advice. So the easiest way, you have to tell them, you're okay, you carry on with yours, and leave them to themselves. Navamanyeda kanchidam. So never insults anyone in that situation. Because in everyone, Krishna is present there, within them also. So, even though they may not be aware of that, of Krishna's presence inside, we should be aware while dealing with them. That's the point Krishna is making here. So he says here, Deha muddishya pashuval, vairam kuryat na kenachil. Based on the body, not to create enmity towards anybody. Because it's all based on the body, isn't it? Enmity develops based on the body only. It's not based on the self, is it? Thinking that we are this body, we are developing enemy towards another person. Deham uddishya pashuval. Vairam kurya na kenachid. Krishna says, under any circumstances, based on the body, not to create any enmity towards anyone. So, that is another important point. why do we create enmity towards anyone? For the protection of our own body. Protection of our own body. So, Krishna says here, anyone who maintain enmity towards somebody else for the sake of the body, he is an animal. He is an animal. Just like the dogs. What do the dogs do? One dog, when it sees another dog, what do his face, if you look, it changes completely. Dog's face changes, isn't it? He starts barking. And immediately, if you look at the dog's face at that time, you'll see a complete change of expressions on the face itself. You can observe that. Therefore, he says, never to fight with anyone. That's what he says here. 32 verse. Ega eva paro hyalma budesh almanya vastita edendu urida patreshu budanye kalpagani cham. Therefore, he says, because of that, ega eva paro hyalma. Alma is only one. Ega eva paro hyalma. Budeshu Almanya Vastida, and it is that one Alma who is present in everyone. Who is present in everyone. And what is the example he says there? Edhendurudapatreshu Budanyekalmaganicha. Edhendurudapatreshu Budanyekalmaganicha. Example is then, one Purna Vastu is present in everyone and giving life to so many different living entities, bodies, isn't it? Example, in the sky, there is the full moon there. If you keep here on the earth thousands of pots of water, in every pot, that sun will reflect. That sun will reflect here. So, similarly, this is the best example, that if you reflect on this example, if you reflect on this example, we will understand what is soul means. What the soul means. Because the soul, which is pure consciousness, which is complete, is reflecting in different bodies. It's reflecting in different bodies. That is the point Krishna is making there. And that soul is one, but it is reflecting through different bodies. He says there, Edhendurida patresho budanyekalmaganicha. So, therefore, on the platform of the soul, everyone is equal. Everyone is equal. Everyone is equal. And as far as, if you remember the Hamsa Gita, when we studied that, we discussed this. If you take the material body, also we are equal. All of us are equal. May not be in the form and the shape and the color, but the elements which has been used in building this body is the same. That is how he replied, isn't it? Hamsa Gita, that is what it's all about. He replied that, isn't it? That if you consider the platform of the body, we are all based, made of the same material. If you take the platform of the soul, again it is the same soul who is present in everyone. That is the question. That is the question here. So, that is what he is saying here. Sun or the moon, there is only one in the sky. But depending on the number of pots what you keep here with water, in each one of them, sun will reflect or the moon will reflect. If you keep 1,000 pots, you will see 1,000 moons here or 1,000 suns here. Isn't it? So, but there may be difference in the reflection depending on the quality of the water. If all the water is pure, then the reflection will be equally good. But sometimes the water, upadhi, that is the upadhi, the word. The water quality may be different. And therefore, our personality, this personality, what we call as personality, is this reflection of the sun. That's what we call as the personality. So, if you take away this reflection, the vastu inside is chit shakti, isn't it? It is chit, satya chitta anandam. Chit shakti is the vastu actually, but when it is reflecting in the water, that reflection is the what we call as false ego, as jiva, ahangaram, false ego. It's all one and the same thing. The sky and the sun and the moon is pure. When it reflects in the water, depending on the quality of the water or the purity of the water, the reflections can be different. To some degree, there will be difference. Is it not? And similarly, the soul is reflecting in everyone. Soul is reflecting in everyone. The reflected nature is the jiva. When it reflects, it is jiva. And in the reflected state, it's called jiva, false ego, ahangaram, all is addressed that in that way. Is addressed in that way. So, but the reflected thing is not genuine. It's a reflected thing, isn't it? Genuine thing is the one which is there in the sky, the sun or the moon. That is the genuine one. But in the reflected state, what you are seeing is this, what Krishna is saying here. Edendu vridapatreshu. Bhudan Egalpaganicha. Remember, it is reflecting, but in reality it is one. Bhudan Egalpaganicha. It's only one thing, that is the soul that is reflecting. But this personality, what we talk about, personality is nothing but the reflection in the water pot. Our so-called personality is nothing but the reflection in the water pot. Vastu is the same, but when will you know that? After doing sufficient Atma Vicharam or Brahma Vicharam or Jnana Vicharam, sufficient analysis and studying this and reflecting on this in very detail, once you have touched that super consciousness inside, the pure state of consciousness, if you have touched that, and then you will touch everybody else. Once you have touched that consciousness inside, which is the adhishtanam, from there which has reflected in the form of personality, ego has gone away completely and the self-realization has happened and you have come back to your original state as pure spirit soul, in that state you will immediately get to know everything else in everyone else, that it is the same product in everyone. Or in other words, that is the point, state of self-realization, that you will touch everybody else. And that is what we talked about Sudeva Goswami, isn't it? Tam sarvabhuta hridayam munimanatosmi. This is where it is coming from. Sarvabhuta hridayam, in every living entity, Sudeva Goswami is present. Why? Because he has touched that, the adhishtanam, or the basis. So, till we realize the truth, that self-realization comes to that at the end, isn't it? We realize that there is only soul and I am that. Tatvamasi Mahavakyam talks about that, isn't it? Tatvamasi. Shvetaketu went and asked this question. And Chandogya Upanishad talks about that, isn't it? Tatvamasi Mahavakyam is talking about this only. That ultimately to realize this, that only. Sattaspurti Tvalpagamakhilamidam. Sattaspurti. That spurti, spurti in everyone. Till we touch this. Sukhena Brahma Samsparsham Atyandam Sukham Ashnute. Sattaspurti. That is what it is Krishna is saying here. Ega eva paro hi alpa. Only when self-realization happens, when he touches that, ega eva paro hi alpa, bhudesh alpanya vastidaha, yadendurida patreshu, buddha nega alpaga nicha. All this is implied in that words. Ega eva paro hi alpa, alpa is only one. Ega eva paro hi alpa, bhudesh alpanya vastidaha, he is present in everyone as a soul, but he is reflecting in everyone. Bhudeshalmanya vastidaha yadendurudabhatreshu bhudanyegalpaganicha bhudanyegalpaganicha. Just like the one moon is reflecting in so many pots, the same Brahman or the soul or Atma is reflecting in everyone. So, then he says, then the next verse is the instruction to the sannyasi again. It says there, Aladhvana vishideda kale kale ashanam kochil labdhvana hrishye dhidiman ubhayam deiva tandridam. Another important instruction. It says there, Aladhvana vishideda kale kale ashanam kochil labdhvana hrishye dhidiman ubhayam deiva tandridam. So, if one can translate into one's life, Krishna says it's good. These are for the sannyasis, no doubt. Sannyasi, Krishna is expecting all this from a proper sannyasi. But even for others, even brahmachari, grahastha also, Krishna is saying, if you can take it as much as you can possible in your life, that will help in spiritual life.
Alabdhvana vishideda kale kaleshanam kochil. Kale kaleshanam kochil.
That means that if you do not get food on time, don't get disturbed about it too much. Kale kaleshanam kochil. Not that always making gorgeous arrangements for the food to eat and drink. It is not a very good thing as far as spiritual life is concerned. Material life, that may be considered very good. Oh, everything has been well organized, we will say. Good feast and good eating, good place to sleep. That is from the material level. From spiritual level, this organizing business is not a good thing. Kale kale shanam kochil.
That is what he is saying here.
Alabdhvana vishideda. If you didn't get it, don't complain about it. Kale kale ashanam kochil. Nothing is going to happen. People will have so many reasons for their own, but that's not a good thing. Kale kale ashanam kochil. If there is some time hunger, tolerate the hunger. If there is some thirst, tolerate the thirst. That's what everybody else has done in the spiritual life, is it not? All the great personalities, they followed that. Kale kale ashanam kochil. So, sannyasi is a bhikshu. Sannyasi is a bhikshu. So, he is expected to be completely dependent on Krishna. Bhagavadega Sharanam says, only Krishna is the shelter for him. Whereas if he start thinking his own arrangements for the food, you remember we studied about Dattatreya Rishi when he met Yadu. What did he say to him? He says to him, sometimes they give me a feast. Somebody takes me somewhere and gives me a feast. Sometimes I don't get any food. I fast. I don't get any food to eat. I lie here, he said. So such an extent separated from the body. It is no good if we simply read all these things and if we don't take it seriously. Oh, and tell somebody else, look, there is that verse there in the Bhagavatam. I'll tell you what it says. But if you don't take it in life, at least to the extent what is possible, we may not be able to do like Dattatreya Maharshi or our Sukadeva Goswami, or even Jadabharata or Rishabhadev. They are, of course, on the topmost level. They are showing us the example. But Krishna's point is, Alabdhwana vishidhyadam kale kale ashanam kochil. If you are leading towards that sannyasa ashram and getting to understand the sannyasa ashram, Krishna is saying here that kale kale ashanam kochil. Sometimes there will be, you will feel hunger. Yes, we have to accept it. Kale kale ashanam kochil. And not to take it very seriously, able to tolerate that. So, if you get it, take it. But if you didn't get it, don't get too much lament about it. That's what he is saying here. So, if it is like that, Krishna's point is, a person who is dependent on Krishna to such an extent, Krishna says, I'll make sure that he doesn't starve. He'll get what he needs. That is Krishna's guarantee from Krishna says. So, if he doesn't get it, he also has to accept it as that is his prarabdham, and in that way able to tolerate it. So, just like sometimes after eating too much, you have problems in the stomach, isn't it? At that time you are tolerating it. So Krishna is saying, if after eating too much, if you get problem, you are willing to tolerate it. Similarly, if you are not getting food and then you have to suffer, tolerate that also in the other way. Both sides, he's saying. Sometimes, most of our problem is after eating too much. The problem that comes from that. Is it not? And then we are willing to tolerate that. We say, oh, we'll tolerate that now. I'll fast for one meal I'll miss now. Because the meal before that, I had eaten thrice. So I'm willing to miss one meal. Now, that's our approach, isn't it? Krishna is saying there, like that, you're willing to tolerate that that time, somehow, and come to terms with that. In the similarly, he's saying that if you didn't get the meal one time, don't feel too concerned about it. That's the point, too concerned about it. This eating, sleeping business also, as far as Krishna is concerned, should be brought to the minimum. Should be brought to the minimum. So, kale kale ashanam. All these things are particularly important for the sannyasi. Just because we are a householder doesn't mean we can do what we want. No. That's also not right. But sannyasa ashram must lead to householder later. Householder's ashram must lead to sannyasam later. So, for sannyasi, only this is the injunction. No activity. He is allowed. Only thing he has to do is to bathe, and then he has to eat, and then he has to sleep. That's all. There is no other thing expected from the sannyasi. When you hear this, you may think, oh, sannyasa ashram is very nice, isn't it? Yeah. Just have to eat, sleep, and take rest. Rest of the time. But, so, why Krishna spoken like this is, to tell us that sannyasi has no karma. No karma. He has nothing to do in this world. In the proper state of sannyasam. But now if you look, the sannyasis are the most busy people. They have no time for anything. So, only to say this, that he should not get involved in this world, in vyavaharam, transactions, he has no right to do it. That's the point Krishna is making. That's why he is saying like this. Eat, sleep, and take rest, or keep to the very minimum. In other words, activities should be kept to the very minimum. And he has no business to do any kind of vyavaharam in this world. He has no right for that. People will have different opinion on all these things, but Shastram is saying this. That's all we can say about it. People will interpret it in different ways, all these things. And you can see what happens when people, if you break the Shastram, if you cross the boundary, then you can expect so many other side also will cross into this side. If a sannyasi starts behaving like a householder and starts acting like a householder, householder will also get into sannyasam and start doing wrong things. All kinds of problems will develop from that. This is why Krishna is saying here, if you cross the boundary from one thing to another side, you can expect from that side also to cross the opposite side. Opposite way, it will happen. So, as for sannyasi is concerned, he has no right for vyavaharam in this world or nishedha, and she is nishetham. Nishetham means it's forbidden. He has no quality. So because sometimes in order to do vyavaharam in this world, he has to change his dress, isn't it? He has to change his dress also. But then sometimes you can see that when they have to do some business in this world, they have to change their dress, and they have to deal with people who are not very spiritually involved. All these kind of transactions will develop. And eventually, because they are not situated on the platform of the soul, they are not self-realized, very quickly they will fall down into this mundane life. So, then what is the greatest thing that sannyasi can do? To be situated on the platform of knowledge. If he is situated on the platform of that knowledge, that is the greatest auspicious thing he can do for this world and greatest blessing also. If he has come to that jnana nishtha, nishtha means completely fixed up in that state of self-realization, that is the greatest blessing to this world. Because so many people, after seeing that state and very existence in the self, will emanate, create auspiciousness in this world. By his very presence, many other people will get inspired by that, and they will tend to take to spiritual life seriously. Whereas if sannyasi also gets doing all the business in this world like everybody else, where is the difference then? He is meant to leave this mundane dealings and business in this world and move away. So, if anything is asked to a sannyasi, he can speak only in relationship with the spiritual topics. That's all his karma. That's all is his karma. Therefore, if he gets the food, he can eat it. If he didn't get the food, he doesn't have to worry about it. Sometimes he mentions that in the Bhagavatam, you will see. The Tathraya Maharshi says, I was taken on top of an elephant in a procession for a big feast in some rich man's palace. And sometimes nobody even looked at me. I was not even given a morsel of food and I have starved. But when the Tathraya Maharshi is saying that, to remind us that to that extent he was freed from the body. What was happening to the body, he just observed it, completely separated from the body. Separated from the body.
Alabdhvana vishideda kale kale shanam kochil labdhvana krishiddeditman ubhayam
deiva tandridam ubhayam deiva tandridam. It says there. Remember in the verse 33.
Alabdhvana vishideda kale kale shanam kochil labdhvana krishiddeditman
ubhayam deiva tandridam ubhayam deiva tandridam. What does that mean? Ubhaya means both of these things. That means both you, whatever you are getting food in this world on time and not getting any food on the right time, both Ubhayam Deva Tandridam, both are Krishna's arrangements. That means this Deva means here Prarabdham. According to Prarabdham, it will come. If you have the belief in the Shastram, if you accept the Shastram, then that's the way it should be. So, he is allowed to go and in sannyasa ashram allowed to beg for the food, but if concession has been given like that, because only if you have the body you can stay in that state of self-realization with the body to be an example in this world. Because if the body is not maintained, also body can that state of self-realization will not, unless you reach that state, body will always cause problems. Therefore, to keep the body quiet, you have to feed the body. That's the principle. So the body don't disturb your state of self-realization, you should feed the body to that extent only, not more than that. That's why it says here, kale kale ashanam kochil. As and when ashanam, hunger comes, because hunger and thirst is a dharmam of the body. It's not the soul, isn't it? Hunger and thirst is coming from where? It's a urmi, it's a wave, shadurmi. Vishapa or hunger and thirst, old age and disease, hankering and lamentation, these are all activities related to body and the mind. Hankering and lamentation from the mind, old age and death, body, hunger and thirst, also body. All these six things are in relationship with the body. So, out of that, but to escape from these six kinds, this is called Shadurmi. Shadurmi they are called. To escape from these six waves is spiritual life. To be situated on the platform of the soul. But till we get to that state, full self-realization, these problems will be there. These six problems will be there. So, out of those six, this thing, hunger and thirst, is something very deep inside, isn't it? So therefore, we have to provide the minimum necessary for the body in the form of hunger or thirst, so that they don't become a disturbance in the spiritual life. That much is allowed. Not that to do my spiritual life, I need a very healthy body and it should be massaged every 6 months in a best Ayurvedic resort. And I should have all the best Chyavanaprasham and all kinds of medicines so that I can do my devotional service. That's not in the Bhagavatam anywhere. Bhagavatam is not saying like that. Bhagavatam is saying this. That Bhagavatam is saying that body should be maintained to that extent so that it doesn't become a problem. Because it's there, what can be done? That's not what we are. The body is not us. We are the spirit. Inside that, the soul, what we are. But body will cause problems like this, and to that extent body should be given the needs also. So that is why sannyasis are also allowed for the food. So everyone is allowed to have the food. No one is disqualified from having food in this world, from having food in this world. So For this purpose, for eating the food, even stealing is not considered wrong, because it's a need of the body. And in fact, if someone comes to the house and he comes and he steals anything from the house, we have to punish ourselves that person had felt hungry. So, so everyone has the right for the food in this world. And annasya chudidam patram, you don't have to look into anyone's qualifications while giving food. Whoever has got hunger, he is qualified. He is entitled for food. That is the principle in this. That's what, if you look in the next words, what Krishna says. Ahārārtam samīheda yuktam dal pranadharanam tattvam vimarshade tenam tadvijñāya vimuchyade. That is that point. Ahārārtam samīheda yuktam dal pranadharanam tattvam vimarshade tenam tadvijñāya vimuchyade. Ahārārtam samīheda yuktam dal pranadharanam. Aharam, because as I said, this Shadurmi, the six waves of hunger, thirst, lamentation and hankering, and similarly the old age and death, that is in respect to the body as well as the mind. As long as we have this body and the mind, these six things will be there. Till we free ourselves from the body, freedom from the body, freedom from the mind, freedom from the intelligence, freedom from the ego, or in other words, till the self-realization happens, they need to be kept in their position. That is what God Krishna is saying. Ahārārtham samīheda yuktam dal pranadharanam. Pranadharanam means pranan has to function. Pranan means without pranan moving inside, body cannot do anything, isn't it? For that purpose, eating is allowed. Only for pranadharanam, it is allowed. So, why do we have to eat food? Because if we eat food, then you can talk about the soul, discuss about the soul, reflect about the soul. Atma-vijaram, Brahma-vijaram, or all this is possible only if the body is there. What is the use of Atma-vijaram? Krishna is saying here, vimuchyate, you can escape from the body if you think about the soul. You can escape from the influence of the body. So, you can remain as the Jivan Mukta, liberated in this body itself. Shruti says like that. Vedam is talking like that. Why does it rain? Because with rain, food grows, and with the food, I can sustain this body. But ultimate goal of all that is, I can become self-realized in this body. Realize the self. So, there are so many statements in the Upanishads about that. One of them, Yabir Adistya Tapati Parjanyo Varshadi. Why sun is giving the sunlight? Why Parjanyo Varshadi? Why it rains? Vanaspati Prajayate. Because of that, plants in the trees can grow. Aushadhi Vanaspadihi. That Aushadhi means we will get the useful plants and trees from there by their growth. Annam Bhavati. From there, annam, food comes. Anena pranam, pranan. From anena pranaha. Pranan comes from the food. Pranan comes from the food. Praner balam. From pranan comes strength. Praner balam. Balena tapasa. If you have strength, you can perform austerities and penances. Tapasa. Tapasa shraddha. If you perform austerities and penances, you will develop shraddha. Shraddhaya medha. If you have Shraddha, you will develop the right intelligence. Medhaya Manisha. If you have the right intelligence, you will capture the things properly. Manishaya Manaha. From Manisha, you will get the control over the mind. Manasa Manaha Shandi. From that Shandi will come. Shandi Chittam. From Shandi, Chittam will develop. Chittena Smritihi. From Chittam, develop Smriti. Smriti of what? Smriti of your pure identity as the spirit soul will come from that. Smritya Smarek, Smarena Vijnanam, Vijnanena Almanam Vedayati. From Smriti, Smriti comes to Smaram. Smaram means a previous memory. From Smriti comes the previous memory of your pure identity as a soul, Smarena Vijnanam. From that, remembrance of the soul and identification with the soul, what will happen? Vijnanam. The knowledge of the self will manifest in the person. Vijnanena Almanam Vedayati. Vijnanena Almanam Vedayati. From that Vijnanam, soul manifests in its pure form without any more interruption. So you can see how Upanishads talk about this. That so therefore Upanishads also don't deny eating food or drinking water or whatever. But with this concept, how Upanishads are presenting to us. That Yabir Aditya Tapati, why sun is giving us sunlight? Why Parjanyo Varshadi? Vanaspati prajayante, aushadi vanaspatihi, annam bhavanti, annena pranaha, pranair balam, balena tapasa, tapasa shraddha, shraddhaya medha, medhaya manisha, manishaya manaha, manasa shandi, shandiya chittam, chittena smritihi, smritya smarak, smarena vijnanam, vijnanena almanam vedayati. So, step by step, Upanishads are telling us, ultimate goal is vijnanena almanam. Vijnanena Almanam Vedayati. To realize the self is the goal of everything. So, Almanam Vedayati. Yabhir Aditya Sabadi. Sun is shining in the sky for this purpose. It's raining. And because of that, in the forest and other places, Aushadhi and Vanaspati. That means all the necessary fruits, vegetables, and also the medicines, herbs, everything is grown because of the rain and the sun. Because the rain and the sun. Aushadam vas panaspati annam bhavati. And similarly we receive our food as well. And from the food, pranan. Pranan is the one. From the strength of the pranan, you have the strength to do the necessary study of the soul. The knowledge of the soul you can develop. When one is starving, when he has no strength in the body, what can he talk about the soul? It is not possible. So, all the Shakti. And this power inside, Vichara Shakti it is called, power to reflect on the soul, and the capacity or the strength to give your attention to the soul, that is known as in the Bhagavatam as Pratyabhijna. You will see this word pratyabhijna in few places in the Bhagavatam. Pratyabhijna means this. Pratyabhijna means that our ability to give our attention to the soul, that is called pratyabhijna. Pratyabhijna. And will come from that pratyabhijna, that power of pratyabhijna wakes up in a person. Shraddhaya metha. Little by little, that prajna or experience or atma anubhavam or knowledge of the soul happens to him. And this realization is called paroshajnanam. Paroshajnanam. When you study this and you understand that, it is called paroshajnanam. In due course of time, it becomes aparoksham. Aparoshajnanam. That means, when it has come, paroshajnanam, paroshajnanam is after you have studied the Upanishads, from there you understand that this is how it happens. In due course of time, this paroshajnanam, after going through this process, eventually it becomes aparoshajnanam. There is a famous book called Aparokshanubhuti. Aparokshanubhuti. That means when it becomes aparoksham, it is perfect in that state. That means you are directly experiencing that, all that what has been spoken. So, so to mention this, right from the beginning of rain and the sun, it is spoken that everything in this material nature is arranged for only for this purpose. Even eating food is only for this purpose. What purpose? For analyzing the soul, for discussing about the soul, adhyatma sadhana, for performing the sadhana. So, bhakti jnana vairagyam, these three things. Srimad Bhagavatam talks about these three things, isn't it? Bhakti, jnanam and vairagyam. So, while talking about the sadhaka, one who is executing sadhana, in sannyasi dharma, when it was spoken in this 18th chapter, it was spoken in this way. That is what you will see next two verses, 35 and 36. So, he says here, yadurchayoba bannanam madhya bannanam madhya cheshtamudhaparam tatha vasastatha shayam praptam praptam bhajen muni shaujam ajamanam snanam nadu chodanaya charil anyamshanayaman yani yadaham lilayeshwaraham yadurchayoba bannanam madhya cheshtamudhaparam tatha vasastatha shayam praptam praptam bhajen muni shaujam ajamanam snanam nadu chodanaya charid anyamscha nayaman yani yathaham lilayeshwaram. Krishna is saying here, food that comes by providence, food that comes by providence, the sannyasi should accept it whether it is good or bad. Similarly, the clothes and the place to sleep, whatever that comes by providence, whether it is good or bad, it should be accepted. It should be accepted. Then, Krishna says here, Shaujam ajamanam snanam nadu chodanaya charet anyamshanayaman yani yadaham lilayeshwaram. Krishna says, Krishna himself, the absolute truth, supreme personality of Godhead, he says, I also bathing and I also perform shaujam ajamanam snanam. I clean myself, I purify myself, ajamanam, and I bathe also. I do all that things, but only done for this as a leela, only for the sake of the world, to show to the world, he says. Similarly, Jnani also, a self-realized soul, he should also execute his shauja karma. Because why do we have to clean the body? Why do we have to do all these things? Because we have identification inside us with the body. So long as we have this identification, it has to be cleaned, purified and maintained properly till we are released from the body. Krishna is not identifying with the body, but doesn't require any kind of purification or cleanliness for Krishna's body, because it is spiritual completely, on the spiritual body. Similarly, Jnani also, when he is completely released from the body, he doesn't have to really worry about the bodily maintenance anymore. It's not important for him. But so long as we are under the grip of the body, under the grip of the mind and body identity, Krishna says here that it should be done. But yani after self-realization, he may still have to maintain the body for the sake of the world. For the sake of the world, so that the world will not become offensive to him. Because we will say, oh, what kind of sannyasi he is, he never bathes, he is not following, keeping his body clean, he is not dressed properly. We will even make that comment about the sannyasi. Otherwise, to deal with this world, to make, keep that world peaceful, he says, loka sangraham. For that purpose, he may even keep his body clean for that purpose. At that time, shaujam ajamanam snanam nadu chodanaya charet anyamsha devan yani yadaham lila eshwara. Just like Krishna is doing it, they should also, because they are also very close to their state of Krishna's consciousness, isn't it? Because of the self-realization, they are also situated on the platform of the soul. That is what he is saying here. It is saying in that verse. So he says here, like this, Krishna has spoken about the sannyasa ashram of the varnashrama dharmam in that 18th chapter. We are now gone back to the last chapter. We are discussing 19th chapter, but in the 18th chapter, varnashrama dharmam, Krishna has spoken all these things, isn't it? So, why do we say all these things? Reason is that if you look at the symptoms of that jnani, that one who has reached that state of jnani, he is as good as in quality, in many ways same as Krishna. That he, in other words, absolute truth, he is present in this world in the form of that jnani. All qualifications, he has reached that state, completely seated in the platform of the soul, and all his activities, you can take him as good as the Supreme Personality. Because all Supreme Personality's qualities are present in him. So, if you want to see God directly with your eyes, you can only see him in this form. In this form. Like these pure devotees, or great personalities like great jnanis, or liberated persons, jivan muktas. Only through them you can see them. Only through them you can see God. Therefore, Krishna gave a description like this to Uddhava. After saying this, Krishna says to Uddhava, engage in the topic of discussion about the soul. That's the next instruction. So there is nothing superior to that Uddhava in this world. Again, Krishna is taking Uddhava back to the discussion of the soul. That is what he is saying here. Japam, tapam, danam, yajnam, yagam. None of them is as good as the cultivation of spiritual knowledge. That is in the 19th chapter. We will go back to the 19th chapter now. Up to this, we have talked about the ashrama dharma of a sannyasi. In that state, how we will behave. Now we go back to the 19th chapter, because we were discussing there this verse, isn't it? If you look into the fourth verse in the 19th chapter, that's where we went back to this 18th chapter. If you remember, that in the 19th chapter, the fourth verse, tapastirtam jabo danam pavitrani tarani cha nalam kurvanditam siddhim ya jnanakalaya krita. That jnanakala, we were talked about it. Remember? Jnanakala. That is why we had gone back to this 18th chapter to discuss about this jnanakala. What does jnanakala means? And Krishna talking about this sannyasi and sannyasa ashram, Krishna was talking about that as a sannyasi, how he develops this jnanakala. How much he has to move away from the platform of the body, the mind, intelligence, ego, and from the external world towards inward, to discuss about the soul and develop that. And nothing is superior to that, Krishna is saying in that verse. Is it not? Tapastirtam jabodhanam pavitra nidranicha nalam kurvandidam siddhyam yel jnanakalaya kridaha. That none of them, what tapas, tirtham, japam, danam. All of them purify us. Pavitrani dhranicham. But nanam kurvandi dam siddhim ya jnanakalaya krida. But none of them can elevate us to the platform of the as good as the knowledge of the soul. In other words, this process of knowledge. That is why that any spiritual activity executed, you can see the problem also that in everything the false ego is there, isn't it? Tapasya means there is false ego, I am doing that. Tirtham, you go to the holy rivers and you bathe there, you are bathing, that ego is behind that. Japam, even while chanting, I am chanting 16 rounds, I am chanting 64 rounds, that ego will also be there in a very subtle level in everybody. You can't get rid of that very easily. You may not say to anyone, but after practicing this japam also for a long period of time, the ego won't leave you still. Tapasya, tirtham, japam. Similarly, dhanam, charity also. In all of them, this element of false ego will be present in a very subtle level, even if you try to free yourself from that. So, tapas, tirtham, japam, dhanam, pavitrani, dharanija. All of them will purify you. There is no doubt about that. But none of them, Krishna is saying, is as powerful as jnanakalaya krida. Jnanakala, the art of spiritual realization or self-realization through studying the Shastram and through the process of this practice like the way sannyasis are doing here. I have spoken about that in the previous chapter. That makes that person completely free from the influence of the body, mind and other things and come to put him back into his pure state of self-realization. That's what Krishna is saying there. So, sixth verse, if you look. Jnana vijnana yajnana vamishtu atmana malmani sarva yajnamadim mamvai samsiddhim munayogaman. That is the verse, sixth verse. So, first thing Krishna says there, jnana vijnana yajnana mamishtu atmana malmani. He says here, first of all, you should hear Shastram. And from the Shastram, you should capture the knowledge of the soul properly. Atmavidya. Atmavidya is the knowledge of the soul. You should capture the knowledge of the soul. Then you should stay alone and in isolation, you should perform the mananam. Reflection of what you have heard from the Shastram. Because Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, Brahma Sutram, they are all putting a whole package together in front of us. How to move progress in the spiritual path. Isn't it? Information on the soul and various doubts what we have about the soul is all clarified through Bhagavad Gita, Upanishads, Bhagavatam and all that. That's what the Shastram does. It clarifies us. So after studying the books, Shastram, in isolation we should sit and reflect on that, what we have heard. And in that way, Krishna says here that and in, by reflection alone, it should be brought into practical life. Practical life means in practical experience in this world. So, and Krishna says here, this is the greatest sacrifice. He calls it as the jnana vijnana yajnana mamishtu atmana malmani sarvam yajnavadim mamvai samsiddhim munayo agaman. He calls it as a yajnam. Like a yagam or a sacrifice. This whole thing, Krishna considered it as a sacrifice. Why sacrifice? Because when you study Shastram and when this knowledge builds up inside, there is a fire inside happening. The fire of the knowledge of the soul. Not the kind of fire what we are talking about. This fire means the knowledge takes a very strong influence in our life. And that one has to keep churning it. Earlier, if you remember, in the 10th chapter, if you look, how Krishna put it there about that. Ajaryoranayadisyal andeva sutararani talsandhanam pravachanam. 12th verse in the 10th chapter. That 10th chapter is an important chapter in the Ekadasha Skandam. It says here, Acharyo Rani Radhyasyal Andeva Sutararani Talsandhanam pravachanam vidhya sandhi sukhavaha.
When we discussed that verse, we talked about it a lot. That acharyorani radhyasyal, this is Krishna's example.
While performing sacrifices,
they have to have fire, isn't it? They have to have fire. Fire is not to be produced from matchbox or from the cigarette lighter or from the, British gas, blue flame. That's not allowed. There's a reason behind all these things. Now it's a matter of convenience, everything, isn't it? So, acharyorani radhyasal andeva sutararani. How do they produce fire? There is purvarani and uttararani, two pieces of wood. Not any wood, there's a specific wood for that purpose. And that has to be brought from the forest, particular piece of wood. They are rubbed together and from there a spark will come out. When the spark comes out, they'll add more fire to wood into it and the fire will catch. All great sacrifices, that's the only way fire will be produced. No other way. Big sacrifices. Like what Bhagavatam says about Adhiratram, Agnishtomam, Vajapayam. So many sacrifices mentioned, isn't it? So that is the way of producing that fire. This Uttararani, Purvarani. Arani is the, what is this called? It's called Arani. So this, there's one wood at the bottom and one wood at the top. There's all this, if you want to see it, is there on the internet. You can see there's photographs and pictures and everything about it. Those ones who are interested, I'm saying, how they produce the fire. It takes a while to produce the fire, but there is no other way they can do it. So, acharyarani adhyasyal andeva sutrarani. So, these person who are cultivating this spiritual knowledge in that way, Krishna is saying here, that he hears everything and after a long time of continuous effort in his side of what he has heard from the teacher of who has instructed him, he has churned it so well inside, this fire develops in his heart. And from there a fire comes, that's the fire of this knowledge, Krishna says here. In other words, inside he gets what is known as jnana spurti, or in other words is chit spurti. Two words they use. What it means is, spurti means a kind of a ray coming out from the soul. Jnana spurti means the knowledge of the soul slowly starts emitting outside from him, inside. Knowledge of the soul he starts experiencing from inside. It is called jnana shakti or jnana spurti, sometimes it's called, or also it is called as chit spurti. It is a chit shakti that's coming out in that form. Then says to Uddhava, create that chit spurti inside. If you do like that, he says, sam siddhim paramam siddhi. He says here that one who has sam siddhim munayo agaman, he says there, isn't it? If you look into that verse, sam siddhim munayo agaman. What does that mean? They have all done this, all the great sages, they have all done this and they have come back to me in that way. They have come back to me in that way. So, what, sam siddhi. Sam siddhi is the greatest siddhi. Siddhi means what? If you remember earlier, Krishna talked about different siddhis in earlier chapter. He said, Aishwarya siddhis they were called. Here, Krishna uses the word sam siddhi. Sam siddhi means samyak siddhi. Samyak siddhi basically means that it's the greatest because we are getting back what we have lost. What have we lost? We have lost ourselves. That's what we have lost. At the moment, if from the spiritual point of view, we have lost ourselves. And we are getting it back. That's what that word samsiddhi means. Samsiddhi munayo agaman. In other words, when self-realization happens, what happens? We are actually getting ourselves back, what we are. At the moment, we have lost ourselves. We are thinking we are this body, we are this mind, and we are living in this world with the understanding that I am this body. That means we have lost ourselves.
Krishna is saying here, sam siddhim munayo agamad, you will get yourself back. That's what happens. Nothing is going to come from outside. Everything is there, but we have lost it. But in the another example given is, like the, when you have, sometimes, they had a very expensive chain or with a jewel or something, it's lying on your neck, kanthamani. And you think you have lost it somewhere and you are searching everywhere. Suddenly you found out that it was already on the neck. How much happiness you will find at that time that you have found that it was, you already had it with you, but you are still searching. Similarly, self-realization is also, when we get it back, you will know that I already had it. It was not something which has come from outside. Realization was already there. So, by saying that, Krishna says here, so, what we have lost today is ourselves. We have lost our own identity, isn't it? So getting it back, that is what he says here. No, getting it back. Mamishtvalpanamalpani sarvayajnyamadim mamvai samsiddhim munayo agaman. So, the sad thing is, we don't know about ourselves. But so what is the point, Krishna is asking, knowing about everything else in this world, when you don't know about yourself, isn't it? That is Atmalabham, and that is the greatest thing. And that is what Krishna is saying in that seventh verse, which we will discuss after a few minutes. So, chapter 19. Shri Bhagavanu Vacham Yo Vidya Shruta Sambannam Atmava Annanumanika, verse 1. Maya Matramidam Yatva Jnanam Cha Mai Sanyased Jnaninastva Tuhame Veshta Swartho He Tuscha Sammadaha Sorgaischa Abhavargascha Nanyortho Madhade Priyaha Jnana Vijnana Samsiddha Padam Shrestam Vidurmama Jnani Priyadamo Dome Jnani Naso Vibartimam Tabastirtam jabodanam pavitra nidarani cha nalam kurvanditam siddhim ya jnanagalaya krita. Tasmat jnanena sahidam jnatva svalpanam uddhava jnana vijnana sambanno bhajamam bhakti bhavadam. Jnana vijnana yajnena mamishtvalpanam altmani sarvam yajnavadim mamvai samsiddhim munayogaman. After that, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, To Yuddhava Shrayadi Yastravidho Vigaro Mayandara Abadinad Abavargayor Yed Janmadayo Sayadami Tavatasya Kimsyu Adyandayor Yadasadosti Tadeva Madhim. That is a important words. Lot of things are spoken in that verse. A lot of things. In that verse, to yuddhava ashrade yastrivido vigaro mayandara badana devavargayor yad janmadayo se yadami tavatasya kimstyu adyandayor yadasadosti tadeva madhyam. So, why so much in that verse? That question will come, isn't it? What is that so much in that verse? In order to encourage us to engage in Atma Vijaram. That's why that verse was written, spoken. Somehow or the other, to develop that habit of engaging in discussion about the soul. Krishna says that because all the other six verses before this, this is the seventh one, isn't it? All the six verses, Krishna spoke about Jnanam. The glory of Jnanam. And Krishna is saying there, nothing can purify a person like knowledge. He very strongly Krishna has put it there, isn't it? Not even chanting, not even austerities and penances, not even bathing the holy rivers. And tapastirtam jabodhanam pavitranitaranicha. They all purify. But Krishna says, nalam kurvandidam siddhi ya jnanagalaya krita. None of them can purify a person as good as Jnanakala. And that Jnanakala is what we were talked about before, what that means, isn't it? So, having said that, ಜ್ಞಾನಗಳೇ ಯಾಕದ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ಸೆವೆಂತ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಟು ಉದ್ಧವ ತೋಯ್ ಉದ್ಧವ ಉದ್ಧವ ಡೂ ದಿಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ಶುಡ್ ಡೂ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ದೇರ್ ಇ ಸೇಸ್ ದೇರ್ ದಟ್ ಸೋ ಮೆನಿ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪ್ಯಾಕೇಜ್ಡ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಒನ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ಒನ್ ಲಾಟ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ಒನ್ ರೀಸನ್ ಸಮ್ಹೌ ದಿ ಅದರ್ ಪುಲ್ ಅಸ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ದಿಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಬಿಟ್ ಆಫ್ ಅನಲೈಸಿಂಗ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ಡಿಸ್ಕಸಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ದಿ ಸೋಲ್ ಆತ್ಮಾನುಭವಂ ಎನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿ ಆತ್ಮಾನ್ವೇಷಣಂ ಸತ್ಯಾನ್ವೇಷಣಂ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಆಲ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸಿ ಯೂಸ್ಡ್ ಎಟ್ ಡಿಫರೆಂಟ್ ಟೈಮ್ಸ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆತ್ಮವಿಚಾರಂ ಜ್ಞಾನವಿಚಾರಂ ಆಲ್ ದೀಸ್ ಆರ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಫಾರ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಪರ್ಪಸ್ ಸೊ ವೆನ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ನಾರ್ಮಲಿ ಎ ಪರ್ಸನ್ ಹೂ ಈಸ್ ಸೀರಿಯಸ್ ಇನ್ ಸ್ಪಿರಿಚುವಲ್ ಲೈಫ್ ಯು ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಟ್ರೈ ಟು ಫೈಂಡ್ ಔಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಟೆಲಿಂಗ್ ಎಸ್ ಸಿಮಿಲರ್ಲಿ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಡೋಂಟ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸ್ಟಾರ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಂಡ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಅದರ್ವೈಸ್ ಯು ವೋಂಟ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ವೈರ್ ಬಟ್ ದೆನ್ ದೆರ್ ಆರ್ ಅದರ್ ಪೀಪಲ್ ಹೂ ಡು ನಾಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಇನ್ ದಮ್ ದೇ ಡೋಂಟ್ ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಆಫ್ ಥಿಂಕಿಂಗ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಇನ್ಕ್ವೈರಿಂಗ್ ಅಬೌಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಫರ್ ದ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಆಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಗಿವನ್ ಆರ್ ದೇ ವಿಲ್ ರೀಡ್ ಸಮ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಲೇಷನ್ ಸಮ್ವೇರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೇಲ್ ಟೇಕ್ ಇಟ್ ಔಟ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಇಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಬಟ್ ದಿಸ್ ಪರ್ಟಿಕ್ಯುಲರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಈಸ್ ಲಿಟಲ್ ಡಿಫ್ರೆಂಟ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಸೆನ್ಸ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಥ್ರೂ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಹ್ಯಾಸ್ ಪುಟ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಇಟ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೆಕ್ಟಿಂಗ್ ಅಸ್ ಟು ಪುಟ್ ಅವರ್ ಎನರ್ಜಿ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಇನ್ ಟು ಇಟ್ ಟು ಪ್ರೋಬ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಇಟ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಫೈಂಡ್ ಔಟ್ ವಾಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಇಸ್ ಟ್ರೈಂಗ್ ಸೇಯಿಂಗ್ ಟು ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ಇಫ್ ಯು ರೀಡ್ ದ್ಯಾಟ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ನಥಿಂಗ್ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಅಂಡರ್ಸ್ಟ್ಯಾಂಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ದ ಬಿಕಾಸ್ ಇಟ್ ಸೋ ಲೋಡೆಡ್ ವಿತ್ ಸೋ ಮಚ್ ಇನ್ ಟು ಇಟ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ಹಿಯರ್ ತ್ವಯಿ ಆಶ್ರಯದೀಯ ತ್ರಿವಿಧೋ ವಿಕಾರ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಥಿಂಗ್ ತ್ವಯಿ ಆಶ್ರಯದೀಯ ತ್ರಿವಿಧೋ ವಿಕಾರ ರಿಮೆಂಬರ್ ದಟ್ ತ್ವಯುದ್ಧವಾಶ್ರಯದೀಯ ತ್ರಿವಿಧೋ ವಿಕಾರೋ ಫಸ್ಟ್ ಲೈನ್ ಲುಕ್ ಅಟ್ ದಟ್ ವೇ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಟು ಹಿಮ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ತ್ರೀ ಕೈಂಡ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ವಿಕಾರಂ ಇನ್ ಯು ವಿಕಾರ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಸಮಥಿಂಗ್ ಟ್ರಾನ್ಸ್ಫಾರ್ಮೇಷನ್ ದಟ್ ಟೇಕ್ಸ್ ಪ್ಲೇಸ್ ವಿಥಿನ್ ವಾಟ್ ಆರ್ ದೇ ದೀಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ವಿಕಾರಮ್ಸ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಟ್ರಬಲ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ಟು ಉದ್ಧವ ತ್ರಿವಿಧೋ ವಿಕಾರಂ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಗಿವಿಂಗ್ ಯು ಟ್ರಬಲ್ ಹಿ ಸೇಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ದಟ್ ಆಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮಿಕಂ ಆದಿ ದೈವಿಕಂ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಆದಿಬೌದಿಕಂ ಶ್ರೀಧರ ಸ್ವಾಮಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದೋಸ್ ತ್ರೀ ಥಿಂಗ್ಸ್ ಆಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮಿಕಂ ಆದಿಭೌದಿಕಂ ಆದಿದೈವಿಕಂ ಯು ನೋ ವಾಟ್ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಇಸ್ಂಟ್ ಇಟ್ ಆದಿದೈವಿಕ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ಸ್ ವಾಟ್ ಯು ಹ್ಯಾವ್ ಟು ಎಕ್ಸ್ಪೀರಿಯನ್ಸ್ ಇನ್ ದಿಸ್ ವರ್ಲ್ಡ್ ಫ್ರಮ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ಆಬ್ಜೆಕ್ಟ್ಸ್ ಆರ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟರ್ನಲ್ ಸೋರ್ಸಸ್ ಆದಿಭೌದಿಕಂ ಆಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮಿಕಂ ವಾಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನಿಂಗ್ ವಿತ್ ಇನ್ ಯುವರ್ ಸೆಲ್ಫ್ ಯುವರ್ ಪ್ರಾಬ್ಲಮ್ಸ್ ವಿತ್ ಯುವರ್ ಓನ್ ಬಾಡಿ ಮೈಂಡ್ ಎವ್ರಿಥಿಂಗ್ ಆಧ್ಯಾತ್ಮಿಕಂ ಆದಿಭೌದಿಕಂ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ದೆನ್ ಆದಿದೈವಿಕಂ ದಟ್ ಈಸ್ ಇನ್ಫ್ಲಿಕ್ಟೆಡ್ ಅಪಾನ್ ಅಸ್ ಬೈ ದಿ ಮೆಟೀರಿಯಲ್ ನೇಚರ್ ಲೈಕ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಫಾರ್ಮ್ ಆಫ್ ಡ್ರಾಟ್ ಸೈಕ್ಲೋನ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಕೋಲ್ಡ್ ವೆದರ್ ಆ್ಯಂಡ್ ಎಕ್ಸ್ಟ್ರೀಮ್ ವೆದರ್ ಕಂಡೀಷನ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ದಟ್ ದಟ್ಸ್ ಆಲ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಆದಿದೈವಿಕಂ ದಟ್ಸ್ ದೈವಿಕಂ ಆದಿದೈವಿಕಂ ಇಟ್ ಈಸ್ So, similar to that, Trividho Vigaram, he says there. Similarly, Jagrat Swapnam Sushupti also is Vigaram. Isn't it? It's also Vigaram. Vigaram means that it's not your pure state, what you are. From your pure state, some changes happened. And that is Jagrat. From pure state, some changes happen, that is Swapnam, dream state. From your pure state, some changes happen, that is your Sushupti state. Do you understand what I'm saying? Pure state is your pure identity as spirit soul, in pure consciousness, our bodham. That is what we are actually. Not this body, not this vacant state, not this dream state, not the deep sleep. These are vikaram that has happened. Vikaram means, from the original state, something has happened and we have changed. Everything changed in us, in our existence. Our pure existence is, what is pure existence? Existence is full of knowledge, full of bliss, and it is eternal. But right now what's happening? I feel I'm temporary. I live for 50, 60 years, I think. I'm temporary. I'm, instead of bliss, I'm miserable always. And instead of knowledge, I have no idea what's going on. So this is a vikaram that has happened. You see, Krishna is speaking from the state of self-realized position in our pure state, what we are supposed to be. From there, transformation or vikaram has happened and we have reached this present state where we are now. And that is, Sridhar Swami says there, that adhyatmikam, adibhautikam, adidevikam, the three kinds of distresses or miseries what we experience in this world is a part of that. It's a part of that vigaram. And jagral, sapnam, sushupti, the three states also is a part of that, the transformation that has happened in this. So, and why jagral, sapnam, sushupti is happening? It's happening because there is sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. These three modes of material nature is also the cause of that. They are the cause of this jagrat, sapnam, sushupti. So, all these three things, what are they? The world, the body and the mind. So, or in other words, if you can call it like this, that the gross body, the mind and the causal body, three things. The gross body is the thing behind the vacant state. The dream body is connected, dream is connected with the mind. And the causal body, which is called as the Karana Shariram, is connected with the link to the Sushupti state. Isn't it? Sushupti state. So, all these three states, in these three identities as body, mind, Shariram, body, or yes, the body in the form of the Jagrat state and mind during the dream state and Karana Shariram in the deep sleep state. Do not think too much about Karana Shariram, we'll come to that later. Mind and body you are easily able to understand, isn't it? Karana Shariram, you are finding it difficult to understand. What is this Karana Shariram? People ask this question. So most of the people, they ignore this Karana Shariram. They only take these two. Stula Shariram and Sushma Shariram. Stulam, Sushmam, Karanam. That's the terminology. Stulam is a gross thing, everybody understand. Gross body. Sushmam is a subtle body. And Karanam is the causal body. What is the causal body means? Causal body means, it is because of that this body has come. This is the cause of this body, therefore it's called a causal body. It is because of Karana Shariram, as I many times before we talked about this also, that the whole secret of the life is packed and kept in that Karana Shariram. That's where the secret is lying of the body, of our life in this world. Because during the baby life or baby times, when we are the babies, we slept 18-20 hours every day. What was going on then? All that what we have, we came to this world with a bag in the hand. And all that is packaged and kept in this bag. And that has to be transferred from that Karana Shariram to Sushma Shariram. And that's what happens during the long hours of sleep while we are in the baby's body. In the baby's body. So Karana Shariram is nothing but all the vasanas that has come with us from previous lifetimes, added to that, the great thing, more powerful than that, is the avidya inside us. Avidya. Avidya means ajnanam. Ajnanam is what? Identification with the body. So many lifetimes, we have identified with the different bodies, and we have come to a state now that all we know is some body. Some body. That's all we know. That we are some body. So, the gross body with the gross body, shariram, is with the stulam, stula shariram. And then the mind with the dream state and karana shariram with the sushupti. Now, all three of them, if you put it together, stula shariram has got what is called karmam. Isn't it? Karmam is nothing but stula shariram. Stula shariram's whole problem is in relationship with the karmam. And similarly, Sushma Shariram, the subtle body, all its activities centered around Chitavruti. Isn't it? Thoughts. Continuous flow of thoughts. That is what's happening inside the Sushma Shariram or the subtle body. Nothing but thoughts, thought waves constantly flowing through that. And Sushma Shariram, the movement of the Sushma Shariram is due to Chitavruti. Movement of the gross body is due to karma. Movement of the gross body is due to karma. Chalanam. Remember, when Krishna spoke in the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, if you remember, Krishna talks about the soul. What does he say? Look at the Bhagavad Gita. That verse is specifically important. Second chapter, while talking about the soul, Krishna is saying there that just a minute, sorry. No. This is about the soul. Let me find out that verse. Achaloyam Sanatana, he says. Nityam Sarvagadastanu Achaloyam Sanatana. That's how that verse ends. We'll come back to that now. What is that? 28, is it? Okay, 1 second. No, not 28. Nityam sarvagata sthanu ajalasana. Yeah. See, achedyoyam adahyoyam. 24. Akledyo shoshyamevacha nityaha sarvagadaha sthanuhu ajaloyam sanatana. Second chapter, verse 24. Nityam sarvagata sthanu ajaloyam sanatana. Now, what is the difference between the soul and these three things, which means the gross body, the subtle body and the causal body? What is the difference between the two? Soul, Krishna is saying, nityaha sarvagadaha sthanuhu achalaha sanatanaha. Five things Krishna is attributing to the soul there, isn't it? Is eternal, nityaha. And what else? Nityaha sarvagadaha. Then, he also says here, sarvagadaha, he is present everywhere, the soul. Present everywhere. Sthanuhu, he cannot, he is like that. No, he sits like, he doesn't move. There is no chalanam in him. Achalaha, that's why he says, achalaha. Now, achala means, it cannot move. Move means, you have to understand that movement, what it means. It's not the physical movement it's talking about. In other words, no vikaram or transformation or any kind of changes can happen in the soul. Because it's pure consciousness. Nothing can make the soul to make any changes in there. Soul is so steady in itself. So, achalaha sanatanaha, and it is eternal. So soul is eternal, nityaha, sarvagadaha, sthanuhu, achalaha, sanatanaha. All these things apply to the soul. Nityatval, sarvagadaha, sarvagadatval, sthanuhu, ivasthira idi edad. Sthiratval, achalaha, ayam, alma, adaha, sanatanaha, chirandanaha, na karanan, kudaschit, nishpannaha, abhinava, ityartaha. Because he is always present, sat he is, he is present everywhere, and because he is present everywhere, he is permanent also, and he has no movement inside. He doesn't move at all. Movement, not the physical movement in that sense, that there cannot be any kind of disturbances in him, in the soul. Because he doesn't move, also at the same time, because he was not born out of something, he is always remained ever fresh. Sanatanaha. He is always fresh. Because he was not born from something. If you are born from something, it is subject to transformation. Just like we are all born from something, isn't it? Because we are born, changes are happening to us continuously. And eventually, it gets destroyed and the body goes. So, body, the sthulam, sthula shariram, mind, the sushma shariram, and the karana shariram, which is the causal body, all these three things are vigaram, subject to change, continuously changing, all three. Sthulam, sushmam, karanam, all three of them are continuously changing. Soul is what Krishna says, achalam, never moves under any circumstances. Whereas what is happening is, Krishna is saying here, that the karmam will move the gross body. Karmam will change the gross body. Karmam has a capacity to make the gross body to move, to engage in activity, is it not? Similar, or create a movement inside in the body. Karmam has the capacity to do that. Similarly, sushma shariram, the subtle body, which is full of chitavritti, has got the capacity to make the mind move, mind to move. Mind gets moved by the chitavritti, isn't it? The chitavritti is the power behind the movement of the mind, isn't it? Otherwise, there is no thing called mind. Mind starts functioning, or the mind becomes stronger if there is strong chitavritti inside. You know what I mean? Chitavritti means strong thought waves coming. And karana shariram, how does it move? How does karana shariram move? Think about it. Karana shariram moves also, how? Due to the change in the avidya. When avidya changes, avidya means ignorance in us is changing also. Sometimes we are in deep ignorance. I'm not talking about the ignorance due to sleep. Don't mix that with this. This avidya, what we are talking about is that deep-rooted misunderstanding inside of identification with the body. That is also changing within us all the time. So, change of avidya makes the movement of the karana shariram. Change of the chitavritti or thought waves makes the movement of the mind, sushma shariram. And change of karmam makes the change in the gross body, which is the sthula shariram, gross body. So, those three things, Krishna is saying here, that avidya is present in us in a very deep level, because that's the most difficult thing to understand. The only word you can use in English is used as ignorance, isn't it? But generally, if you tell someone you are ignorant, it means not exactly the same way what Shastram is talking to us. Suppose you tell you are very ignorant, you won't take it very seriously, very offensive way or anything. Sometimes people do. Sometimes suppose somebody has done something wrong, we will say, oh, you're very ignorant, you don't know anything about it, you're a very ignorant person. We'll say like that. Or suppose someone has behaved badly, we'll say, oh, he's very ignorant, doesn't know anything. We'll say like that, isn't it? But that is not what here is referring to. Here we are referring to that avidya, basically in the sense that in the form of that deep-rooted ignorance inside us, in identifying with the body, then also associated with that the sleep, and also associated with that a state when you find sometimes in a state of shaken conditions, like experience, sometimes they call it murcha. Murcha means sometimes you feel a certain experience in life, a shaken conditions. All these are nothing but avidya. For example, coma state, or sometimes when you get suddenly frightened of something, sudden experience of the mind will react, or it will cause some kind of shock waves inside, isn't it? I don't know how to say that in English, but a kind of sudden experience, what brings you a overall impact on your nature, or trauma, or whatever, yeah, that is, yes. Traumatic experiences like that, all that is a part of that avidya. Sleep is also a part of avidya. But out of the three, the most deepest one is this ajnanam. Ajnanam is what? Ajnanam of identification with the body. That is a part of that. So, Krishna says here, all these three are bondage. All these three are bondage. Which one? Stula Shariram, Sushma Shariram, and Karana Shariram. All three of them are bondage. So, life, Krishna is saying, is completely wasted in these three. Which one? Stula Shariram, Sushma Shariram, and Karana Shariram. The whole life is wasted. He says like that. So, our whole way, that is what that verse is saying. You see, to yuddha vashraidiyas trividho vikaro mayandar apatadinat apavargayor yat. That these, under the influence of these three bodies, stula shariram, sushma shariram, karana shariram, which is again due to the influence of the sattugunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, three modes of material nature, how it has inflicted on us in such a powerful way that our whole life is a trivido vigaraha. These are three vigarams on the soul. On the soul it has happened. The soul is in the middle of all these things, isn't it? So, Krishna says, these three vigaram, they have actually tied you down, says to Uddhava. Uddhava, they have tied you down. Though in the form of the gross body, in the form of the subtle body, and very subtle level, false ego also is a part of that ahangaram, avidya. Ahangaram. And there, in a much more subtle level, I am, that individualistic ego is also a part of that, that avidya, individualistic ego. Because when you have identified with the body, immediately what is the next thing? I am, that ego has come. Jiva condition state, isn't it? False ego has become very prominent at that time. So, in the Upanishads, the word used is anavam. Anavam is a word they have used. Anava means false ego. False ego. So it is from that word that anu. Anu means the most subtle thing. Extremely subtle thing. And from there atomic word has come. Atomic word has come. Atom. Like that means, in other words, this ego inside is also like atom. Atomic energy. It's a very powerful thing. This thing called ego, that is like atomic energy, is very subtle, isn't it? The nuclear energy, how they have developed into such a, how to split the atom and all that science is very subtle, very 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 subtle level it is done. It's not a very gross thing. In a much more complex conditions it's conducted. So similarly, Krishna is saying here that this same thing, ego, is also such an atomic thing inside functioning. So, ahangaram or false ego, sushma shariram, which creates the chitavritti, these three things we carry with us. Stula shariram, sushma shariram, karana shariram. Gross body, subtle body, and the causal body, these three things, they result in this creating this false ego in us. False ego in us. Because if you look at it this way, that what is false ego does to us? False ego is a product of these three. Stula Shariram, Sushma Shariram, Karana Shariram. Karana Shariram inside us is the avidya. Very, very, very fundamental ignorance in us. Is that avidya inside. That I am this gross body. Added to that, the gross body and the subtle body adds more fuel to it. To that primeval ignorance. What Prabhupada uses the word? Primeval ignorance. Primeval ignorance means this. That complete avidya inside, that I am this body. To that, the gross body and the subtle body adds more fuel to it and make us to accept that we are this gross body and the subtle body. So, Karana Shariram is the foundation on which the Stula Shariram and Sushma Shariram makes us more to fall into this deep ignorance. Avidya or Ajnanam it is called. So, that is why he says here, these three bags we carry with us, and because of that, yet Trivido Vikaraha, it brings these three miseries also along with that. So, Krishna says here, Mayandara. Krishna says to Uddhava, Uddhava, take that all these three are nothing but Maya. Maya. In other words, Uddhava, Andhara. Andhara means they did not exist before, they came somewhere in the middle. That means when we were in our spiritual identity as the soul, it wasn't existing at that time. But sometime during the middle of this, in our state of consciousness like that, pure state of consciousness, these three has come in and created this disturbance in there. Created the disturbance there. But it has not, nothing has happened to the soul still. It's a kind of, how to put it, the three things, because it is Maya, it cannot be properly identified either. It cannot be properly identified. But in the experience, it exists. But if you ask where is it, it's very difficult to pinpoint. Gross body, yes, you can say. But even about this gross body, we cannot clearly identify and say this is it. Because it's also changing all the time. You see the point? What Krishna is saying? That in our pure state as spirit soul, Atma, Atma state, our pure original state of avabhodam, awareness, existence, whatever we call it, in there, these three vigaram has come, sthulam, sushmam, karanam, trivido vigaram, and they came in and they created a disturbance there, and we, in our, because of the impact of those three, we have started identifying with the body. Very powerful, strongly we started identification with the body. And what has happened now? Because of the presence of these three modes of material nature, we are experiencing three kinds of distress also in this world. So that's why he uses the word apatati. Use the word apatati. Mayandara apatati. Mayandara apatati means Maya done that. Actually, it is Maya who did that. Maya came to us in the form of this sthula shariram, sushma shariram, karana shariram and took control of us and we fell into that. In the middle it happened. It didn't happen from the beginning. Sometime in the middle, on the soul, for the soul this has happened. So in the middle Maya has taken control and apatati. Apatati means, so apatati means it has come down in between. In between it has come in. It has come in. So Krishna says here that Janmadayosya to yuddhavashradi ashradiyastrivido vigaro mayandarabhadadi nad abhavargayor yad. So Krishna says here, in the assembly association of a realized soul, one should understand, start from here, Atma Vijaram, he says. One should start from this point because Krishna is telling us the starting point where it all began, where it all happened. From there, we should start analysis, analyzing the how this has happened. That's what he's saying. So, if you continuously stir it or if you continuously analyze it, Krishna is saying from there, a realization will come that just like when you churn the yolk buttermilk, from there butter comes out. Similarly, if you churn this understanding that I am not this body, I am not this mind, I am not this intelligence, and I am something different than that, these things have come upon me at some point in time in my permanent and eternal existence. It has come to me at some point in time. Krishna says you start from there, Atma Vicharam, analysis of the soul. So, at some, Krishna says if you continuously do that, what will happen is, so it will slowly remove this influence of Maya on us. That is what Jnana Margam does. Jnanam, with the power of the Jnanam, Maya is kept away from the, from our, because presence of Maya is so strong in us at the moment, That is what is keeping this identity with this sthula, sushma, karana, shariram. All the three things. But all the, once the doubts are getting cleared by studying Upanishads, by studying Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita and all, that it removes this, what is known as the false in us. These are the false sinners. And they give names to it. What kind of faults they are? Ajnanam, Asambhavana, Vivarita Bhavana. All these are the different kinds of faults in us. In this process of identifying with the gross body and the identification with the subtle body and everything. So, they have to be removed, Krishna is saying. They have to be removed. So, we don't have to know all the words at the moment. Because there are so many words what they have used in the Upanishads about this. But this churning is more important. Churning is more important. Till we get the correct insight about this situation, about us, we have to continue doing that. That's the point Krishna is making here. That mayandar abhavadi nad abhavargayor yet. I don't know how much it is in the translation of that verse. There's only very little, I think, spoken about it. Is it not? Let's have a look. It says, my dear Uddhava, the material body and mind composed of the three modes of material nature attach themselves to you. But they are actually illusion since they appear only at the present, having no original or ultimate existence. How is it possible, therefore, that the various stages of the body, namely birth, growth, reproduction, maintenance, dwindling and death, can have any relation to your eternal self? These phases relate only to the material body, which previously did not exist and ultimately will not exist. The body exists merely at the present moment. If you generally translate, that's all how much you can say about that verse. That's all you can put. But Krishna is expecting a lot more than that from that verse. He expects us to develop that verse in a much more deeper level. On a general translation, yes, that's all you can say. But after reading that translation and reading this verse, Krishna is saying this, as I said before, that verse is loaded with such a deep level realizations. Krishna is saying, keep going into it, absorb in it yourself, and get out from that verse a much more deeper level, the understanding of the situation what we are in today. So, here he is saying here, that till you get that right insight of your identity, and till you get that, in solitude one should stay and perform what is known as Nididhyasanam. If you remember, Jnanamargam has got these three things. Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. Shravanam means the first hearing process. You hear about the truth. You hear about the truth from the Shastram, from the Acharya, from Krishna, from the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, all. You hear the truth. You first have to hear the truth. After hearing the truth, next thing is Mananam. Mananam means that continuously churning it and coming to the right conclusions after that. That is the Mananam process. Then comes Nididhyasanam. Nididhyasanam means after you have gone through this Mananam process, you come to certain firm conclusions which is in line with the Shastra. And to be situated in that state continuously, uninterruptedly is called Nididhyasanam. There is no other way to free ourselves from this ignorant state. If you do like that, that means you will feel an existence completely free from the body and this complex mind, completely separated from that, another existence you will experience. That is the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam also. And if we get that clarification, if we get that, if it comes to us in our experience in a clear level, if you get to that stage, then Krishna says here, only then all these things what is spoken in the Bhagavatam makes some sense. Otherwise, if it has not happened at any stage in life, then it is all just a storybook only. It doesn't mean anything more than that. Because Srimad Bhagavatam has been spoken, particularly Ekadasa Skandam, is to take us to this, to get us out of that ignorant state what we are in, which includes what Krishna mentions there. To yuddhavashraydi yas trividho vikaro മായാന്തരാപതതി അപവർഗയോർഗ്യത്. മായാന്തരാപതതി, മായ ഹാസ് ഡൺ ദിസ് ടു അസ്. മായ ഹാസ് locked us up in these three body, gross body, subtle body and the causal body, and we are stuck in that. And here sharana manana nididhyasam, that is why Krishna says here, if you know this, knowing itself is a great blessing, Krishna says, because this knowledge nobody is going to tell us, and scientists will never be able to find it out. This knowledge what Krishna is giving us here, this knowledge, he says, you will not be able to get it, and if you just know, that is sufficient. Maya andara apatati, he says, this is maya. In other words, gross body, the subtle body and the causal body is nothing but maya, nothing but maya. Trivido vikarah, and trivido vikaram, there are three kinds of transformation or the changes that has happened. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam, which is goodness, passion and ignorance, and gross body, subtle body, and the cause of the gross body and subtle body, which is the causal body, all of these things does not exist in the soul. This is what Krishna is again stressing, that point. They do not exist in the soul. They do not exist in the soul. Because just like in the sun, can there be darkness? No, there cannot be darkness in the sun. Similarly, in the soul also, none of the things which create distress, these things ultimately, Sridhara Swami says, creates distress, isn't it? Adhyatmiyam, adhibaudhiyam, adhidevigam. So, just like darkness cannot stay in the sun, similarly in the soul, none of these things which creates distress cannot stay. That is Krishna's conclusions on that. All this is necessary to know, because otherwise, Atma, the soul, will remain as a abstract thing to us. Krishna is teaching us about the soul, how to approach the soul and analysis of the soul, how to understand the soul, how to study about the soul, how to talk about the soul. Throughout Upanishads, that's what's being done. Bhagavad Gita also does the same thing. And Srimad Bhagavatam and Ekadasha Skandam is also exactly doing the same thing. So here he's saying here that he is saying very categorically, Krishna is saying here, in the soul, none of these three distresses which we talked about before, Adhyalpiyam, Adhibhaudhiyam, Adhidevigam, cannot stay. Why? Adhyalpiyam, Adhibhaudhiyam, Adhidevigam, they have come from the three modes of material nature, due to three modes of material nature. How did they happen? Because these three modes of material nature, these three types of bodies and the three distresses, they are all connected to each other. Because the three modes of material nature is maya, the three bodies that has come from that is maya, the three kinds of distresses that we are experiencing is maya. In other words, all of them is under what Krishna calls it as asat. Krishna calls it as asat. If we do not take that, simply reading these verses and not knowing the principle what Krishna is trying to project here, he said sthula shariram, sushma shariram, karana shariram, three things. That is what we are all the time inside, that, isn't it? Without these three states, we don't know any other state at the moment. Which means these three states are in total control of us at the moment. These three states has come from where? These three bodies, sthulam, sushmam, karanam, these three bodies, where did we get that from? We get from the three modes of material nature. They caused this, isn't it? And so, here, trividho vikaraha, sattvam, rajasa, tamasa, and the cause of all that, which is the causal body, none of them has any impact on the soul. First thing, first point, Krishna is clearly stating to us. Then, because they are there, these three kinds of distress we are experiencing. Which one? Adhyalpikam, Adhibaudhikam, Adhidevikam. So the three distresses, three kinds of bodies, three modes of material nature, they all go together. They all go together. So when the three modes of material nature took control of us, We have got these three kinds of bodies and the three kinds of distress from that. If we accept this statement from Krishna, we have understood Bhagavad Gita, we have understood Srimad Bhagavatam. And that is the only way to free oneself from the effect of the body, effect of the mind. Accepting what Krishna says. This acceptance is more important than anything else. We think by studying we will understand. No, studying you won't get it. By accepting you will get it. By accepting it, that is more important. Many things if you look in this world, you can see by accepting you get it. It becomes very easy. Everything becomes very easy by accepting it. Not by studying. Study, you can study whole life. You may not get it at the end. You can see examples like we say, just like a boy and a girl got married. They didn't know each other before. They had no idea what about each other. Somehow it was arranged and they got married. But from the very next day, they are able to accept one as the husband and one as the wife. How is that possible? They didn't study any book to check out whether I am a husband or wife. They didn't chant any mantra whole night. I am a husband, I am a husband, I am a husband. Or I am a wife, I am a wife, I am a wife. How come the very next day they become husband and wife? Because there is a simple thing that has happened there. He said both of them have accepted it. And they have become husband and wife. So acceptance is much more powerful than studying or by your action in this world. Acceptance is more powerful than any study what you do in this world or any karmam you do in this world. Acceptance is the most powerful thing. So this acceptance is necessary in this case also. There is no other way you can get it. There is no other way you can get it. That is the most important thing. That's what Krishna is saying here. It has come in the middle because spirit soul by nature is shanti, is its quality, isn't it? Beauty is shanti. So, and then Krishna is saying here in the next two lines, if you look, what does he say? Janmada yosa yadami tamatasya kim siu. Krishna says, there was something in the beginning. What is there in the beginning and what is there in the end only exists in the middle also. In other words, the thing what you are having, it has happened in the middle. Which one? This accepting this material body is something that has happened in the middle. Originally, we exist only as pure consciousness, spirit soul. At the end also, we are pure spirit soul, conscious of our spiritual identity, isn't it? After liberation, at the very end, one day we will get liberated, maybe billions of years before we get out of this. The natural way it will happen. But because in the middle, in the beginning and in the end, our identity is pure spirit soul, in the middle also, Krishna is saying, your identity must be pure spirit soul. It cannot be the material body. This is the point. That is what that two lines are saying. Janmada yose yadami tavatasya kim siu adyandayor yadasadosti tadeva madhye. Madhyam, in the middle, you can't be something else. You have to be that. So very strong conclusion, isn't it? Suppose you are spirit soul in the beginning and at the end also if you are a spirit soul or pure consciousness, awareness, bodham, yakti, whatever the words used, doesn't matter. If you are that, Krishna is saying, how can that be in the middle you are something different? So therefore, Krishna's conclusion is this ignorance, ajnanam or avidya, which is the karana shariram, and from that, the sushma shariram has come, and from that sushma shariram, the stula shariram has come. That is how our birth is. First thing, avidya was born. From avidya, sushma shariram was born. From sushma shariram, this stula shariram has come. But even though all of these things have come about, still you, the person, is still that soul. You are not different from that. So all what Krishna is asking us, that churn this understanding very deeply inside and come to this conclusion that what is in the beginning, these are all helpful tools to establish this understanding in us deep, in a deeper level. Janmadayos asya yadami tavasya sasya kim siyu adyandayor yadasadosti tadeva madhye. What was there in the beginning, And what is at the end only can be there in the middle as well. If there is something else in the middle, Krishna is saying that that is not vastavam. It is not a truth. So we'll stop there. We'll continue next Sunday. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.